Good evening, everyone. 7 o'clock. Do I hear a motion to begin the meeting?
Motion to begin.
Thank you, Commissioner Eichenberger.
Seconded.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. First thing on the agenda, each meeting is to say the Pledge of Allegiance, and then we'll sit down and have a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Take a moment here. First thing we have, I know we have new people in the room. Why don't we go ahead and introduce ourselves? And I'm Mayor Bob Stone. Of course, you'll see Robert A. on everything I sign, but I like everybody just to be able to call me Bob. I'm going to start all the way on the end down there with Commissioner Campbell. So.
I'm Carol Campbell, lived in this neighborhood for 42 years, and I'm the road commissioner. So hopefully there will be no snow, sleet, or anything like that.
I'm Linda Beville. I'm the utilities commissioner. If you ever see some little short lady out putting orange duct tape around a lamppost, maybe, I'm not marking your neighborhood. I'm just marking a light that's not working.
I'm Dennis Metcalf. I'm the safety commissioner.
Dawn Eichenberger, property commissioner. I've lived in the neighborhood for 24 years.
Dan Small,
I'm Beth Lush, city clerk, and I've lived in the neighborhood for 40 years.
And Steve Swagger is our city attorney, and he's not present at this time, but he'll be here shortly sometime. So, all right, first thing on the agenda,
Dan, I didn't do it very loud. Dan Small, I'm the state treasurer.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You have to speak up.
There is Steve Swagger, our city attorney.
They acknowledge it sometimes. Other times they kind of like, God, we have to really admit that. So here I am.
All right. What we do is we have citizen participation at the beginning of the meeting. If you have any comments, questions, or issues, this is the time to bring it up. Also, during the meeting, this is a little bit different. I allow people, if they'll raise their hand and give me time to recognize them, if you've got a question while we're discussing something, I won't let you go into filibustering, but if you have a question or a comment or something, I'd really appreciate anything you have to add. So, at this time, I'm going to open up the floor. Now, not everybody raised their hand at the same time, so go ahead. Who would like to go first? If anybody, I see we've got new faces in the audience.
I don't mind.
Yes, sir.
My name is Anthony McFarland, and I've been a resident in the neighborhood for 29 years, since 1990. And what brings me out today is some of us received a letter, which I'm sure everybody is aware of, in reference to an easement in our area boundaries, what should be done and should not be done as far as removing the fence and that kind of thing. Can you give some of us some insights into that, the reason behind it,
okay,
what happens next, the timeline?
Could I ask you a question first, Steve? Which property you are?
I'm 4514 Midland.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I knew which property.
No, that's okay, yeah.
Because you're not the only one that's gotten a letter.
Right.
Okay.
You're right here, sir.
Okay, first of all, I wasn't the guy that walked around and observed this. We have a very competent commission. I'm very proud of this commission. I've been proud of all commissions, but this in particular because it's proactive. And what they've done is that they've gone out and they...
Could I interrupt you just 1 second? You please do not include the commissioners in this, because we had no knowledge that there was going to be a survey. We had no knowledge that there was going to be a letter. This was done without the approval of the commission, and I just want to make that clear from the get-go.
Well, when I was complimenting you, but I was just generally complimenting the commission for being proactive in getting dead trees cut down and garbage picked up and stuff. So, Dawn Eichenberger is the property maintenance commissioner. She's done a very fine job since she was appointed here recently. So, I didn't see these properties. Now, from a standpoint of whether there is a fence and there is debris that's been thrown over, I guess from a legal standpoint, it would be a proof problem as to who put it there. You know, circumstantial evidence would indicate that if I own this property and there's a fence and there's a bunch of tree branches and stuff beyond that fence, that logic would tell me that possibly Steve Schwager, who owns this property, did that. So some of those letters were directed to owners with that tax situation, where simply Dawn was asking that we clean up the area behind the fences. Now, there's a question. There was a gentleman I talked to earlier this week. Did I talk to you?
No.
And then there's a gentleman here who I talked to at length about a situation, and it might be that gentleman right there. I'm not so sure, because he said he would come. But now, as to the property, as to property owners who have built fences that encroached upon that easement for the city, that's a dedicated easement. When a developer comes in and buys a piece of land to develop, they have to develop a plat. That plat has to go to record. And invariably, in most plats, almost always, there are easements. There can be easements for a variety of reasons, but there these, and I think that in those instances, I sent a copy of the plat, the original plat of the city that was put to record when the developer got permission to develop this land. But as to, I'm in law school, we have property, and it's a very hard area of the law, but the law professor says, in your lifetime, you might have one or two adverse possession lawsuits. I've been doing this 38 years, and I have about 10. So, but basically what adverse possession says, and it's a common law, it's common law. When the English came over here, a lot of common law followed them. Initially, you know, the English controlled this country until the revolution, but we still have common law that is applied to this day. One of those is adverse possession. Like unjust enrichment and various other common law causes of action, when they're reduced to a statute, I do a lot of construction law. So before, in this country, people passed mechanics lien statutes, unjust enrichment and quantum merit were the common law causes of action that you used, that if you put value to a property, for example, a construction person. You know, I do some building for Beverly here, and she doesn't pay me, so that I can file a lawsuit for unjust enrichment. But now, because there's a mechanics lien statute, that invariably gets set aside common law causes of action that specific statute replaced. But in regards, so adverse possession is a common law cause of action, and it's also called prescription, easement prescription, something like that. But basically, the elements of that, and the acronyms are important to me, but the one for adverse possession is OCEAN. It's open, continuous, exclusive, adverse, notorious. Okay, OCEAN. So basically what it means, and if you can imagine this in the English countryside, or even here in the country, you know, I own 50 acres down in Meade County, and I'm never there. I had a situation years ago where two sisters in Washington State inherited this land, and then there was an adverse possession date. So if for 15 years I have a piece of property, and the neighbor starts growing corn and raising cattle and stuff, and then after 15 years, by law, that property has been adversely possessed. But you cannot do it with government property. You cannot ever adversely possess government property. So the person who I sent the letter to regarding the moving of a fence back to the property line, and I've got the case law here, it's a 2007 case out of LaGrange that basically says you cannot adversely possess government property. So that letter, and I don't know if that person's here or not, but we're going to work towards having that property owner. I understand it's a new fence and recently built and all that stuff, but we've got legal grounds to have them remove it. The whole idea is that if people are walking to city-owned property to have a cookout or to sit there and lay in the sun and read a book, they can go down that that public easement to get to that open space property so that they're not trespassing on somebody else's land. So as to legal issues, I can talk about those and I can address those. In particular, the one that I think what I got from the property owner was a letter which just gave this the skinny on adverse possession. I know that. I can talk about it in my sleep. And I agree with this person's assessment of the typical cause of action for adverse possession, but unfortunately it doesn't apply in this case because he's trying to say he can adversely possess public land. He can't do it. Is that person here? I've got to send him a letter and say, here's the case, and you know, please remove
the case.
Yes. Yes,
so why is this man done? That's the whole point. Because we don't, we didn't build a fence that was beyond a field. This is my neighbor.
Sure.
We have a chain link fence between our homes. That's been there. I've been there for over 16 years.
Between homes.
Between homes. And we've been asked to take our fence down so people can walk between our homes to get to the back field.
That's right.
What is the purpose of that? I mean, there's no reason that anybody should need to walk through our property to get to the back field for any reason. I mean, it's been there all that time. And as far as the adverse possession, I mean, can I see that?
Sure, I'll do my case. I mean, I didn't collate it. I thought my machine collated, but you'll have to give me the
May I say something, Steve?
Sure.
I'm the one that instigated this. This pathway has been in there ever since they set up the city of Worthing Hills. The reason why is before North Pulaski Court, the new part of Pulaski Court and Jonell, that was going to be a school for the community. Isn't that right, Carol?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
and JPCS owned that property for many years. Then they started the school buses, and that went away. So this pathway has always been there. It's even on the plot. And the reason why I brought it up is because when I was doing the review of the properties for the taxes this year, I went through each one of the properties on the PBA website. And on the PBA website, in fact, you can even see it when you go out to these real estate advertisers. If you bring up their maps, it'll actually show you the boundaries of your property on those maps. And there is a pathway between your all's two houses. And that's the reason why this is brought up, is because that pathway was originally put there for pedestrian traffic to get into the what is now the green space, but it would have been to the school for the children to get through there. So that's the reason why this all came up. And it's not just you all. There's another one. There's another one that comes off of Ludenburg Drive. And it's a pathway that's very large. This one's 28 feet wide.
I think the big concern, and you nailed it, and thank you very much. Thank you very much. Was the lack of communication given to the community and the lack of professionalism given.
Where's the lack of professionalism?
Sir, I'll tell you where. I'll gladly tell you. I've got the letter dated May 9th. It came to most of our homes last week. It's a three-sentence letter.
Right.
Three sentences, the best you could do.
I'll tell you I don't use a lot of words.
Okay, that's fine. You're speaking a lot of words.
Okay.
All right,
let him talk, Steve.
A three-sentence letter letting us know this by June the 1st. First of all, that's a heck of a short timeline to give anyone in terms of to come out now to reassess our property. So that's one. I would like to see if we could work with that.
Sure.
For the timeline is horrific. Secondly, how does this affect my property value?
I have no idea. I don't care.
Right. I'm sure you probably don't. That's why I'm not asking for all the size.
What are we asking you to do in the letter?
Here you go, sir. Enclosed is a copy of the City of Worthington Hills official plaque, which reflects the green dedicated walking easement, which by law cannot be encroached upon. Therefore, please remove the fence and any debris from the easement by June the 1st, 2019, to avoid its removal by the city at your expense. Please contact me if you want to discuss this issue, which we have, and now here personally, which I am.
Me?
Sincerely, let me continue, please. Attorney sent you a letter. My attorney sent you a letter.
I didn't get a
letter. Recently, this week.
I didn't get a letter from anyone.
Well, my question and concern is, where do we go from here? To move all the emotion out of it, how will we change the timeline, and where will we go from here?
I didn't get a letter from your attorney.
Okay.
I didn't get a letter from your attorney. All right. And, you know, I've worked with my hands. I put myself through law school and college. I do construction. I've moved fences. I've built fences. And I've picked up sticks. I've moved debris. So I don't think that, you know, 27 days is not a lot of time.
Speaking for yourself.
All right.
Speaking for yourself. And I'm even asking the board, is everyone comfortable with this timeline?
Not at all.
No.
Thank you so much.
No. Let me say this.
I'm not comfortable until there is a service.
Mrs. Eichenberger had no clue about these letters, so you can leave me out of it.
Right, I thought it was you. The mayor did it, okay? This isn't something you take a vote on. To write a letter, you don't take a vote on.
Oh, yes, you do. This is a commission form of government, and you would do well. You would do well to remember that.
Because I've been the city attorney for 38 years.
Yes, you have.
And you want to control everything.
Right?
You're a commissioner. That's all you are.
You're an attorney appointed by the commission, and that's what I was asked to do.
Does this easement still have to go there since there's no school?
Right.
Yes, the easement is public property. Everyone in the city owns the public land.
Understand.
Okay? And we cannot arbitrarily just give it out. It's public land, and it's not being taxed for those who have fenced it in.
Can I ask a question or say something?
Sure.
My yard is not affected, but if it was, I would be as upset as they are. And I feel like as a city, this is something that should have been discussed by everyone. Because no, there's not a school.
Well, okay.
And we should, as a city, decide if there are other options. Because if you're asking me to remove my fence, number one, I've lived in my house 25 years and the fence was there when I got there.
I understand that. Okay.
So,
all right. Here's the thing. Everybody is assessed on their land. Everybody, when you get your tax bill, there's an assessment for the land and there's assessment for the improvements. Okay.
I thought John Eichenberger was part of the road.
She's a property maintenance. I thought that she was part of that. As it turns out, I guess it was Mayor Storm. He asked me to send these letters. He's exactly right on the law. So I did that.
You know, if you sent me a letter that said it's not part of the city, I would be fine with that.
Melissa, please. I was doing the tax assessments, and when I was on the PVA, I've known about this problem for a long time, okay? But as doing the tax assessment, I'm looking at the property values, okay? And by people fencing off this property, okay, you're getting additional value for additional property, and it's not being taxed.
So what do you want us to do, pay taxes on it?
No, the easement belongs to the public. That's just how it is. It belongs to the public. And as such, whoever put the fence up, when the fencers first put up, they're required to be surveyed. So whoever put the fence up, either they didn't get a survey or they didn't care. And unfortunately, the past leadership in the city has turned a blind eye to a lot of problems that we've had in the city. Unfortunately.
And you're talking about leadership for 30-plus years, because there's people sitting in this room that have had fences up for over 25, 30 years.
Melissa,
so
I didn't recognize you.
No, if your fence is on your property line, there's nothing to dispute there.
But
we don't know if it has been put there wrongly.
But ain't a public easement supposed to be marked?
No.
No.
It's not supposed to be marked. Not coming in between properties like that.
It's marked in the plat. It's in the plat.
But it's not marked on the property.
No. No,
that's why we sent.
From my understanding, I work in property management.
The genesis of this, I thought that the property maintenance.
Well, it might be.
And I'm still sorry.
Would probably have the surveyors.
I lived in my house 16 years. Everything has been intact. I live next door to Mr. McFarland.
I understand. There's nobody complained about it. That's the problem. The problem is when it got put up, it wasn't taken care of at that time. Unfortunately, prior administrations didn't properly evaluate the plats or the properties. In fact, while I was doing the tax evaluation and review of the tax properties, I found a complete property that wasn't on our rolls. Hasn't been on our rolls since 2007. So here again, it's public property.
I understand that. Just understand.
And I don't have a problem making it different. I did. The time frame was probably, it got your attention.
And indeed, that's correct.
That's right. Okay. I have no problem changing the timeline. That's not the issue. The issue is the fence needs to be repositioned.
Okay. So where do we reposition it to?
To your property.
Where is that? I need to know where the easement is so I can
the
property.
Well, that's why you have to get a survey. We already have. The plat has your deed, when you got that, has the deed to the house,
mm-hmm.
Okay, there should have been a plat of the property with your property deed. Everybody who buys property gets a surveyed plat of their property.
Well, if you look at your deed, there's a legal description of every deed. It has meets and bounds and degrees and all of that. So it's in your deed. It's in every deed. So if you look at that, all you have to do is survey the back line. If that's where the problem is on the back line. If it's a sideline where yours is, then that would have to be surveyed. You know, I'm not happy sending these letters out. In fact, after I did it for years and until this board, the commissioner sent out these letters. I prepared draft letters for every possible scenario because so I agreed to do this time. The mayor enlisted me to do this, and I've spent hours on the phone. I mean, one guy called me. I said, yeah, there's debris behind my fence that, you know, I'm not so sure I put it there and stuff. I spent 20 minutes on the phone with this guy. So my fuse is kind of short because I've spent about 10 hours since these letters went out, and I sent an email to Mayor Storm saying, I can't do this anymore. It's the commissioner's jobs. If there's an issue like this in the future, I mean, I'll help the commissioner draft a letter, but it's not going to go out under my signature because look what's happened here tonight. I've gotten testy. I've talked to people on the phone, and I've, you know, I've got a law practice, and this is my favorite client. I've been doing this for 38 years. I've never gotten upset like this before. I've gotten upset at elected officials during meetings and stuff like that, but I love this job, and all I'm trying to do is what the city asked me to do. And I apologize to Commissioner Eichenberger because I thought she was part of this. I'm not trying to.
I asked him to do it. Okay. And it's because.
I apologize to you or anybody else.
All right.
You know, I'm a person, everything in the law has got a timeline. So I sat there rationally and I'm thinking, you know, how long would it take me if I owned that property to do it? I thought a month was fair. But I mean, I know there's value in putting up these fences. I know there's value in removing fences and stuff. And there's something to be said for the fact that over the years you've taken care of this property. Maybe you grew tomatoes or something like that, you know. But legally, Mayor Storm is right. A lot of times the law is an ass, you know, but it's the law. Now, but, you know, and you can't, if the mayor wants me to do this, I guess, then I did my job, and I'm not doing this again because I don't like it. I don't like conflict. It sounds stupid coming from the
All right, and the reason
that this happened here tonight.
There's another reason this came up, because earlier in the year, Commissioner Eichenberger and myself were approached by another property owner who doesn't have a fence up, but because of one of the fences that's adjoining to his property, our property maintenance people have not been able to take care of the property. Okay? So, as such, he was trying to adverse possess the property. And this is another reason this came up, is because our property maintenance man has to have, if it's on our, if it's our property, we need to have access to it. And unfortunately, the neighbor on that, the other side where it came from, the green space, they got overgrowth that's happened there over the years because the other property maintenance companies that took care of it. But again, it all goes back to, it hasn't been addressed in all the years. And when I was doing the tax assessments, and I see this property's got $30,000 for land, and this property's got $20,000 for land, and I'm looking over here, this one's got extra land, and this one doesn't have any hardly any land. I made the decision. The commission didn't make the decision. I made the decision because it's a law. Okay, I didn't make it. It's not something the commission even had to decide on because it's a law. We own the property. Linda, we do. It's a law.
May I say something?
But no. May I say something? I just think it could have been handled so much better.
Absolutely.
Explain to me how that could be handled.
If I would have knocked on your door, and I don't think you would have yelled at me or whatever and say, this is a problem, could we take a look at the plat? I was upset when I heard about it because it was the first time I heard about it. We have been working really hard to really make the community, to bring it back to where it is, and we've been and I was disappointed. I'm going to be honest with you. And to be honest with you, an attorney, I think one of the main things an attorney does for a client is keep them out of trouble. It could have been handled. There could have been a letter gone out ahead of time saying, we really need to talk with you about this. When would be, please call this number. When would be a good time that we could meet?
And I agree with that. And now, one of the commissioners can send that out. I don't have time to knock on doors and try to humiliate situations like that.
But we didn't even know about it.
Okay, and in hindsight, mistakes were made. And I think I felt more people were on board. This is something that the mayor asked me to do, and I did it. I thought, I thought Dawn, because Dawn has done other things, and maybe I crossed over there. But I did, I got a letter from someone that had the basic points of adverse possession, but it didn't have legal letterhead or anything on it. And it was signed by someone. I just thought that it was a property owner. And you can take this case and you can give it to your attorney and have him evaluate. And if I'm wrong, have him call me. But here's the case right here. I mean, I'm a reasonable guy. And I'm sorry that I got everybody upset. But what I've learned in the practice of law is that, and I can be the friendliest guy in the world, but when I look at a job I put in there, and this is what judges want. They want you to be precise and to the point, and they don't, I've reduced documents that I had prepared 10 years ago that were 10 pages long, and now they're 4 pages long. So it sounds harsh, maybe, but to a lawyer and to a judge and the people that practice law, it says all it needs to say. And I did give some thought to it in terms of the time. I know you work, and I know you take value in your property, and I do care. In fact, I do care about property values. I care about my property values, and that was a dumb thing for me to say. But the you can't unring the bell, so to speak. And I'm sorry for what I did. I just thought, and if you want this case, I'll give it to you, and have your lawyer call me. Yeah.
Go ahead,
Mr. Mayor. You're right. It's a done deal. So, your motion aside, it's
right.
A done deal.
Right.
I guess my question is, what's the next step? Can you at least give us or discuss some type of reasonable timeline?
By the end of summer is fine with me.
Okay.
The commission has to, we have to, again, is would the end of summer be fine with y'all?
It's fine. It was fine with me if it's agreeable to the people that it's.
Okay.
But see, once again, that's the kind of thing where if you're going to make those kind of agreements off the cuff, this is something that needs to be formal. This is something that needs to be in writing.
Right. We'll get it to you in writing, but we want to. How about yourself? Are you on the adjoining property?
Yes.
I'm just a little upset as far as we just put our fence up because
that's
twice.
there's been trees on city property that has knocked our back fence down.
We just put
our fence back up, and now it has to be, I don't have money like that. You know what I'm saying?
You guys live in the same house?
Yes, we husband and wife.
I mean, the city's let this go for so long.
We had a tree down in our backyard.
The cost of doing this?
We had a tree in our backyard from November to April. I called, well, I don't know if it was this administration or the previous administration or what, but I emailed, I still have them on my phone, pictures and everything I sent.
That
I come home one April, tree gone. Nobody called, said nothing. I have a 140-pound rat that I just opened the back door, let him go, and it's a big gaping hole in my, where the tree was removed. When the tree was there, he couldn't get out. He's fine. Tree was just removed. Nobody knocked on my door, said anything, nothing.
Was the tree on your land or the city land?
The tree was on the city land that fell onto my land.
Onto our land.
Broke my fence, which I have replaced twice.
Well, the city property fell. I mean, we've got discussions.
In this back field where the school was going to be. You're starting to remove them now.
They're all gone. Yeah, all the dead ones are gone.
Well, they are not on my property that I had.
The city should reimburse you.
They told me to file it with my home.
Yeah, but
my,
the insurance company doesn't cover that.
Right.
it's a matter of public. Just because insurance doesn't pay for it doesn't mean the city shouldn't pay for it.
Again, I work in property management. I know something.
You know, I believe that, you know, I would recommend that, you know, the cost of repairing that fence should be paid by the city if you have an invoice or something, and I told Bob, I just said, because the insurance company doesn't pay for it doesn't mean the city doesn't have to pay for it.
It's brand new to me. I didn't even treat it yet.
There was a shed that was treated. Remember that shed?
Hmm? What would you propose?
And
I mean, I don't really know what financially we would win the time for us, but I mean, I don't know if we can regroup on this or what.
What kind of fence is
it?
Chain link or wood?
No, it's
chain.
Chain link on the side. Privacy runs the length of the back of the property.
Well, I can dig holes on it if you have to do it.
It's not my wood. It's not my wooded fence. It's the chain link fence in between us and the McFarland's.
Is there a fence on the opposite side in the back where the other property
are? Both of our properties completely fenced off. So where this easement is supposed to be, I don't know how. I don't even know how big the easement is supposed to be.
Perfect question.
It's a matter that has to be surveyed.
What are the fences on a property line?
Okay, Lisa, what you got?
We don't know.
I have a question, and this is just, it may sound silly.
Want to take a picture?
What's When the city regains all of its properties that we're going to get, who's going to benefit from it?
The
public.
That is all I'm saying.
The public's going to benefit.
That's right, because if you walk, and I'm telling you right now, you cannot get to the green space from Mecklenburg without going all the way back up to Northumberland and then going down. It doesn't matter. The pathway is there for the people to get through that live on the neighborhood street. Linda, it belongs to the city. It belongs to the people. And that's, you just have to live with it. It's on the plat. We can't sell it. We cannot legally.
I'm not asking you to sell it.
But the whole purpose of the easement is for the school. The school is not there, so there's not a purpose in other than to upset happy, content residents.
We have a whole big green space for anybody to use.
Right, so why do you need that strip?
So the strip gets there. Who's going to be responsible for it?
We are. Okay. We do the mowing on it.
How wide is the easement?
I don't know.
Right
now, it's a
chain link fence.
Can we get a
survey done? Well, that's what I'm thinking. This guy's fence has been there before he moved there. It's not his fault.
That is what I'm
thinking. Wait a minute. Let's stop it right here. First off, when you install a fence for the first time, it's required under ordinance to be surveyed prior to being installed. under Jefferson County ordinances.
Right, but
then it has nothing to do with that. But we removed
it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who didn't do it. It's just a matter of the action has to be corrected.
And we know, and you know absolutely sure, we are 100% sure as the city, we are 100% sure that these fences are in the wrong place. We've had a survey, the city had a survey done of our property to make sure that these
fences... It's platted out on PVA. Linda, all you got to do is go out to PVA and you can see it. It's as plain as day.
So I could go down to the courthouse and...
Yes.
Or maybe that's something the clerk could do. Go down to the courthouse and get it for us. And then we could...
We don't need to. It's right there on that map that we have in the boundaries. Mm-hmm. It's on the boundaries. It's on the website. It's on PVA's website.
We're just going to take a surveyor to find the pins.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And right. I see their point. They didn't put the fence up. So.
Well, the thing is the original installers should have had the survey done.
And the property, the house is 45 years old.
I know it is, but there's still a survey on it.
I understand that.
Okay.
But it seems like the only person who is really for this is you. And it doesn't...
No, I'm speaking for the rest of the people that are owners of property in the city of Worthington Hills.
No, you're not. You're speaking for yourself. Because
no, I'm not. I've got nothing in it other than the other people in the city of Worthington Hills may or may not be aware of it.
Who has complained about it to you? You said you're speaking for them, so who has complained about it? Who has said this is a problem?
But I can't get to this public access
thing. The public access thing started back when we had this adverse obtain a possession, okay, from another resident, okay? So if we can't do it for him, then we can't do it for anybody.
But I thought he wanted to buy the land.
It doesn't matter. He wanted to buy it, but we can't sell it.
Well,
and that's when it first came up,
right?
He
wanted
to buy it. But he just put the tent up. So, I mean, he would have had to have that surveyed and everything. We didn't.
No, he's not putting the fence up. He's not putting the fence up. He has open property.
Uh-huh.
Or the easement, the walking easement, uh-huh, runs behind his property. Okay? He's taken care of for 15 years, and he tried to take control of it, not realizing that that law that he's talking about only applies to private property. This is public property.
So
this belongs to the taxpayers as a whole. He took care of it. He mowed it. The property couldn't be accessed or wasn't being accessed. I'll put it that way.
What if somebody said, you know what, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners, I'm not going to move my fence. I'm just not going to move it. I've got too much money invested. It's been here forever. I'm not going to move it. What do we do?
We got the right to move it at their cost.
And you would bring construction crew in here and move the fence to gain how much?
Linda, we're not going to talk about how much we gain. It's the fact that it doesn't belong to them. It belongs to the public. And I know it sounds like I'm the only one for this.
You are.
How long you been a commissioner? Now stop there. All right. Okay. Sorry. Yes. Yes, sir. Mr. Epperson.
My name is Darren Epperling.
Andrew.
This is the first city meeting I've been to. I've been in the neighborhood for a little over 19 years. And I'm on the kind of the corner on the backside in the condo association called East Bay Villas. And we're what you call detached condominiums. Single family detached homes, but it's zoned as a condo.
You're behind Bayes in court?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Okay.
We run along with the businesses right there and then back up to the neighborhood, which is, what is that, Pulaski? It goes around?
Pacelli.
Pacelli, yeah.
Now, I just took over the presidency of East Bay Village, so being on the board is new to me, so I've learned a lot in the last 3 months. So me speaking up is just kind of being the devil's advocate, because I think where it is, because this is personal, this is our property, this is our livelihood. But I think what's not considered here is the domino effect of what happens. It doesn't affect your property value. It affects the false idea of your property value, because you've got a fence line here that looks like yours, but it's not really yours because it belongs to the city. So you have a... The only reason I don't know this is because I have a person in the neighborhood right now that's selling their house, and they put a fence all the way back into the woods, not even our land. And I have to make sure that this agent, when he goes to sell that, is aware that if these people come in here, that people that own that land come in and decide to develop that, they're going to rip his fence down. And the person that bought that, their argument is going to be, well, I bought it like this. Doesn't matter. You have a plat that's on that. So you're not a surveyor. I'm not a surveyor. I'm not going to know. But it's like going into another city and breaking the speed limit. You can't say, well, I didn't know the speed limit. It's kind of like your health insurance policy. You can't. Nobody reads the fine print there. So the government owns that. If he doesn't hold that accountable, then he's putting the entire city in a position to be sued by the guy that's not being allowed to possess that land. So it's a domino effect. There's a whole lot more involved here than just your all's land. And I only say that because I would be upset too. You've been here for 16 years, you say? I'd be fired up, especially if I got a letter.
Right.
And instead of, you know, just text and communication. The bottom line with that, and that was going to be my question, who's going to take care of it?
My concern too, also, I mean, it's a lot of concerns because we have children, and we have children on our block that play in that cul-de-sac. Now it leaves it open for predators or anybody to come in. I mean, that's kind of like a safety comfort. We know we have our neighbors. We know we have that cul-de-sac. Now, anytime Dick and Harry can ride up through the yard, I mean, it's very upsetting.
It goes like spider legs, just getting in everywhere.
Sure.
Now what?
And you have a lot of little cities in there. Other neighborhoods that have actually developed those kind of areas where they have walkways in between. You almost get, it's almost like a maze that's been developed. You know, and there might be a park bench in there. That's probably something that they was originally thought of. But over time, the school, and hey, your neighbors, you figure it's midway, so you build a fence.
Right.
And then you just assume, hey, that's ours. You bought it like that, so you just assume that it's yours. I guess where I'm going with that is that there is no argument against it, but you also can't argue with the fact that you're ticked off.
And if my memory serves you right, we had a survey and state property, and it did not surpass my fence line. So, I don't, and it
could
even
be that
this
fence is too far over.
Yeah, it's a matter of not knowing which fence it is,
right,
or whose fence is onto the easement. But when we look at the plat on the PVA, it basically runs between the two properties. Who's got the majority of it? You can't really tell from what's on the picture, okay? But there is points for each person's property, and somewhere along the line, that easement's there. If we let you all keep it blocked, what's to stop other property owners? Well, we already got one on Jonelle doing the same thing. Next thing we'll know, we'll have the other side of Pulaski. They'll be putting up a fence. Of course, you know, then we don't have any access to the easements at all. And the green space is where
the whole community has the right to it.
These questions, Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead.
Like I said, it's a done deal, so all the motion are going to go aside.
Right.
So we just forget that. Who will incur the cost? That's my concern now.
The property owner, because they're intruding on the city property. It's city property. And technically, I hate to say it, whoever put it there originally is the initial issue. Unfortunately, it's like Darren said, you know, if you don't address it now, it's just going to get passed down. Sooner or later, it's going to still end up. Again, you know, it's been ignored, okay? It's either been ignored or, you know, I know the problem was nobody paid really much attention to anything in this city. Unfortunately, now we're paying attention. And this pathway, I know what you're talking about with the maze, but there's mazes all through this city. I mean, there's an access from Queen Anne's, there's an access from Pulaski.
But I don't live like that.
Yeah, but I just really, like I said, with the kids and everything, and
I understand.
I know.
But there's kids over on Queen Anne's. There's kids on Rustburg Court. There's kids on Ludenberg Drive. There's access all over. In fact, there's two accesses from Northumberland Drive. One's down by Moray, and the other one's up between the two houses between Dickerson and Ural Street, Mecklenburg. And unfortunately, it's the easement that's there for access, simple access to that green space. And I know.
How many properties are we talking about that may have some of them?
Well, I don't. Again, theirs is unique because the other one, the one that's on Jonell, they just basically run it across the easement. They just didn't fence the back. They ran their fence all the way over to Ludenberg Court. In your all's case, the fence is blocking the parallel run. And that's who has the most on the city property. I mean, one may not have anything on the city property, and another might have it all without the survey.
According to the survey.
So right.
That's the survey.
What is your name again?
Anthony McFarland.
McFarland, okay. For anybody who's interested, you can get online and go, excuse me, Mayor, because you can go to Jefferson County Land Records, and then there's a link, and then you can pull up deeds, mortgages, or anything. And I'm doing that right now for Mr. McFarland's property. So you put the first name and the last name. You can't do it by address, and then it says what type of document deed. And you can pull up any recorded document in Jefferson County, going back to like the late 90s, because before that it was all microfiche, and they're not doing it. But the point I'm making is, if you look at the simple, let's say you had a situation where it was back-to-back properties like this. I don't think your configuration is like that. But if you looked at your deeds, you'd have a property dimension going this way. You can tell from the deeds, northwest or whatever, if you get your bearings. So in a situation where you have it like this, you can figure out where this ending point is and measure, and then you'd be able to figure out what the easement width is and where the fence is. That's in a simple situation. But if you've got a configuration where you've got multiple lines coming in, it might be harder to do. So I will offer this. I've got an office, and if everybody, you know, if people want us to come out there and I can pull up deeds and I can pull up plats. Now, the simple plat that we sent you, if you go downtown, the recorded plat has all the dimensions, all the meets and bounds. What I sent you was the original plat, and it doesn't have dimensions on it. But a plat has to have for every lot, and you'll see those same dimensions that are on the plat that are reflected in your deed. So if you don't have a copy of your deed, it's usually in a closing package. You can go to Jefferson County Land Records, and you can print that and find out. And if people want to do that and do the due diligence, I'll be willing to meet with anybody in my office. And we can go over it. And I feel bad because, you know, some of my rules and stuff, I feel real bad about that. I'll work with you. That's what I do. And I, you know, I'm usually good at what I do, and I feel like what I did tonight. And,
you know, it seems to me that these people are going to have to incur the expense of moving the fence. I think the city ought to pay for this.
I think clearly where a fence is broken because of the city tree, the city should put that.
I mean, if you've lived there 20 years or something, and you didn't put a fence there, it's obviously it's not your fault, but it's not their fault either.
Well,
it's my tax dollars. I'm willing to spend some of it getting their property surveyed, and we can all pitch and help them move the fence if we need
to. If I hear a motion, I will.
I make a motion to do that. I make a motion that we pick up the survey costs.
Okay.
I second it.
All right. Got a first from Commissioner Eichenberger, second from, is that Commissioner Bedell? Who seconded it?
I did.
Okay. All right.
Survey cost for what?
Thank you. Nothing. All those in favor, I'll tell you what, let's just do a roll call vote and get it over. Commissioner Campbell?
I agree. Yes.
Commissioner Bedell. Commissioner.
Yes.
Okay. Commissioner Eichenberger.
Yes.
Mayor Stone said yes. So we'll pick up the cost of the survey to get that done, so we can resolve this issue at least that. Now, does anybody have the timeline? Is the second issue.
You just put that in as a minutes as a part of the record. I don't think you need a formal contract. But if you want,
I think
what
you need to go to, like, 90 days after the survey is completed.
Okay. Has anybody got a better suggestion? How do you all feel about that?
I think that's fine. It sounds like progress is being made, but you're right. Time would be the issue.
Right.
Is the survey done? Then after that, 3 months? I think that's fair. I think it's a lot better than what we started with.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So
I make a motion that after the survey is completed, that we will have 90 days to take care.
That the property owners will have 90 days to take care of the property.
Yeah.
Take care of repositioning the fence.
Yeah.
If it's possibly. I don't know whose it is. Do I hear a second to that motion?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Eichenberger. All right, is there any discussion on that, or are we able to go move to a vote? All right, start to the roll call vote again. I'll start with Commissioner Eichenberger this time.
Yes.
And Commissioner Metcalf?
Yes.
Commissioner Bedell?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
And Mayor Sturm says yes. Okay. Is there anything else that we're done with that? I'm hoping now for the time being.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
So now the city's going to pick a surveyor and take care of getting it surveyed.
Right.
The individual residents don't do that.
We're picking up the cost that's ours.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure.
We're going to survey between these two. Yeah, we're going to survey. We're going to find our easement.
For the whole green space?
No, just for the two houses. We know where the rest of it is.
Survey the lines to the affected owners.
To the affected owners.
To the,
right.
To the easement.
Right.
And these are the only two owners that have issues?
These are the only two. This particular easement is very unique because it's between two houses.
Wait a minute. I thought we
No,
wait, I'm a little bit confused now.
Oh, do you want to do it for the other one that we've got the fence issue with too?
I think we're going to do one. We're going to need to do all of them because we can't just say, "Oh, we did it for these people," but we said you are being encroaching on the walkway, so you're going to have to pay for your own.
So there's only two that are encroaching on the walkway.
That's what I've been saying from the get-go, sir.
That's sir, read the letters for you.
I will cover these.
You see the letters?
What?
The letters say all of them.
No, there's not 17 letters with the...
14.
Well, 14. There was only three of them with the fence line, or three of them with encroaching on the walkway.
I thought there was...
No.
14 letters.
No, that was about taking care of their fence line with their weeds and the growth on them.
And throwing debris over the fence.
And throwing debris over the fence.
Don, you have those letters?
I don't have them with me, but
that wasn't what you said, was it?
No. Can we go ahead and survey the one, okay, the one that was started the whole thing with the where the fence goes clear over to Lindenburg Court.
We don't. The thing, we can do that one too. It's Jonell. The Jonell location is 12205. Okay. I mean, we can do that one too if you want to do that one also. So, that, I mean, I agree. You know, we can go ahead and just do and put Jonell on there too. But we only did three fence lines or three encroachments on the property, right?
So what do those other letters say?
Every one of them said encroachment, Bob. Every one of them.
All the letters that went out.
Every one of them said encroachment.
You are encroaching on the walking path. Every single letter had that word in it.
It may have been a matter of tree limbs and stuff that they threw over the fence.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I'm looking for the letters right now.
Encroachment.
Every letter that went out had the same wording on it.
Yeah. Well, it's still encroachment on the green space. It doesn't. It's not the walkway. It might have been encroachment on the green space.
Do you not have a copies?
No.
Do you have them?
Darn.
I wish I had them.
Well, the green can encroach on it.
Yeah,
but it's just like a fence can encroach on space.
I mean, they're throwing the limbs over. People are throwing limbs over the fence. That would have been encroaching on our green space, whether it was a pathway or whether it was in the green space.
I can have no fence and throw my garbage in the
right.
green space.
I and trust me, there's some houses that don't have a fence that were throwing sticks into the green space. In fact, if anybody went out the front entrance today, somebody's taking their sticks and put them up in the front entrance.
Don't I copy you on the service, but I
think yeah, he just don't have them.
Yeah, I've gotten it home.
You still have them in your phone, though?
No, I never got them in my phone. I had the actual physical.
Do you want to include I agree. We ought to include the Jonell location, too.
Yeah.
But it's just the Jonell where the fence goes across our walking easement.
Yes.
Okay? So include the Jonell location, too.
So you've changed so much.
Yeah, just to conclude, we're all in agreement that anybody that's got the fence problem needs to have a survey.
Right.
Okay, is that agreeable?
Yes, thank you. Yes.
That's the walkway easements. Okay. Is there anything else before we move on? All right. If there's nothing else, then we'll move to the next item. All right, the next item on...
I don't know if this is new business, but I do have one thing I'd like to say.
Well, it ain't new business, but go ahead.
Well, I would like to see...
Okay, go ahead.
...commission create a letterhead, because I think any letter that any resident gets, the first letter that any resident gets, should be from your commissioners.
I couldn't agree more.
And the mayor. The last letter that anybody should ever get would be from the attorney.
I agree. And that's the way it was.
I agree with that. Absolutely.
And what I'm going to do is go back. I've got thousands of Williams and Mills records, and I started doing it today because, I mean, this has been a nightmare for me. I feel bad for all of this. I was just a guy doing his job. And, but I'm going to send all these letters out that I've drafted over the years that cover a plethora of topics and, you know, assign city letterhead that commissioners used in the past. The next thing I know, I'm screwed up. You know, I didn't mean to.
All right.
Can I make a motion that the commission create a letterhead?
We have a letterhead.
Big pardon?
We have a letterhead.
We do?
Yeah.
I usually do that. I didn't know we had one.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Okay.
Not on my desktop.
Oh, wait, sure, you didn't you send all those letters out before with on our letterhead?
No, every letter that I sent out when he
okay.
messed up about the trees, oh, excuse me, that came right out of my mouth and I didn't mean for it too. I apologize.
That's all right. All right, we'll get you a copy of the letterhead. There's a letterhead. It's basically, if you take the minutes that we have and drop everything off of it. That's the letterhead.
You're great.
All right. Okay, can we move along? Is there anything else that anybody would like to bring up? We're over the fences. Okay. And we're not over the fences, but we're moving along. Okay, the next thing on the agenda is the review or the approval of the March city meeting minutes that were missed because they got posted and nobody checked them. So
I've checked them. They were fine.
Okay. All right. Do I hear a motion to approve the March city minutes?
I make a motion to approve the March city meeting.
Thank you, Minutes. I'm glad you approve of the meeting. Thank you, Commissioner Brazil. Do I hear a second?
I second.
All right, who's going to fight over it? Who wants it, Campbell or? Okay, Commissioner Eichenberger. They want me to say Eichenberger. Okay, I've been practicing. All right, all in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? It's unanimous. All right. Next is the approval. The April minutes were on the city website also, and they were also sent out. Did everybody review this April city minutes?
Yes.
Find any problems? All right. Do I hear a motion to approve the April city meeting minutes?
I move that we approve the April meeting.
All right. April city meeting minutes. All right. Commissioner Campbell, thank you for your motion. I hear a second.
I'll second then.
All right. That's Commissioner Babil. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Unanimous again. Now we got into everybody received the financial reports. Does anybody have any questions about the financial reports? Did anybody find any problem with the financial reports? Okay. Any questions, comments? Dan's sitting here. He won't be here next month. He's on a trail walk. All right, do I hear a motion?
I move that we accept this
financial report. All right, I'll have discussion. There are a couple of things that we have to manipulate in it, but that's okay. It's just a dollar, and we fixed that already. But the one thing that it's not anything you need to worry about, I talked to Dan, and Dan's still learning some of the line item stuff, so we're taking care of that. But the numbers balance. The bank accounts are there. All the numbers in the bank accounts balance, which is good. All right? So we're taking care of that. So do I hear a second?
Second.
All right, Commissioner Eichenberger. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. We'll put the dollar change up on the website, so it's there. I want to see if anybody found it. I know I'm bad. Invoices, receipts, and reimbursement approval. Okay, so I'm pass this around, and while this is going around, I'm going to turn it over to the city attorney. What we have here is, this is a list. It's on the website. It's called the expense review sheet. And beginning January, all the expenses the city has actually goes onto the website so that people can look at what's being expensed out each month. They weren't seeing that before. So what the commission does now is each one of the commissioners initials off on it, because the majority of the commission has to approve it for us to be able to pay the bills. Utilities and the necessaries of trash pickup, snow removal, that's pretty much automatic, but there anybody with expenses or if there's additional expenses like this city meeting room, okay, this is a necessity, so these all have to be on there for everybody to look at. On the website, it just has the breakdown. We actually get a copy of the invoices. Okay? All right.
And I was able to set up on the Rumpke account so I can actually send the invoice
right
to you now.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think, here's just a suggestion, and I don't know how y'all feel about this. You know, it's up to y'all. We've got some of these mandatory things like the trash pickup and the electric and those. we're getting these things at or about the same time we're having the meeting, and my suggestion, if you're all for it, is Rumpke Electric, and when we start getting the water bill, if we get a water bill, if we ever turn the water on, the things, you know, like the phone bill and in the website, all the utilities basically are things that we have to have. We ought to just go ahead and put them on, because the Rumpke trash bill is the same every month, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The electric, we usually get right before the city meeting, because they usually come, and we get an email on it, don't we, Linda?
Yes, I get an email.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So I would like to have it so that we're up to date, because in the past, well, the Rumpke bill got missed the first year that we had Rumpke in December.
Mm-hmm.
So I would, my recommendation is we just go ahead and include them as an item, whether we got the, you know, we just need to include them on the regular price we have and put them on. Now the electric bill varies from month to month, but we get them we get them close enough.
As soon as I receive them, I will forward them.
Okay.
To Beth.
Yeah. It's just like the website.
I think I sent you the June Rumpke bill.
Yeah.
On there.
Yeah, it's just like the website. We get the website automatically on the 20th of each month, mm-hmm. Okay? And it's a prepaid for the service, and we don't want the website to go down. So they aren't going to put it down. They promised me they wouldn't do it. But this is something that I just wanted to ask you all, if you want to make a motion and make it a practice. We just need to approve that, and then we'll start doing that as a standard practice. So, does everybody understand what I'm saying? Any questions?
This is for the regular ones that we know will come every month.
Yeah, phone, all the utilities. I don't even know what's on there. All the utilities are on there. We'll basically be getting the meeting receipt, no matter where we have, at least a week in advance of what. I know if we continue here at Holiday Inn, which we'll get into later, I have to come down here a week in advance to make sure that it stays on the books, okay, and pay it with the credit card. But
I have a question.
Okay.
On this report here that was sent out, we have maximum one tree removal, $25,440 paid or due on 5/11, and here the amount is
$24,000.
Okay, so this one is.
Yeah, that one was the original. If you go out to the website, right. I changed it already on the website.
I want to make sure.
You're right. Yeah.
I sent out an email to all of you that it's going to be corrected on that, but I didn't send you all the labels.
Yeah. So, if I hear a motion, we'll just start that practice if we get a vote here.
I make a motion that we pay, that because of the timing of our meeting, that all of the regular utilities and things that will be paid every month and are the same be applied and we approve.
Okay, utilities and anything in regular price. Okay. Not personal expenses. Okay. So, all right. So I have a first from Commissioner Campbell, a second from Commissioner Bedell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Unanimous. All right. Now we're going to the city attorney's report, and what I have, I know it's his turn, but give us an update on Roy and Betty Coleman's unemployment claim.
Okay. Roy and Betty have been my friends for years. I don't know if anybody knows them, but they were the city clerk.
Just moved along.
City treasurer. Betty was the city clerk. So last November, they tendered letters of resignation. They were very nice letters. They resigned. They're going to cooperate with turning over their workload to their successors. And so they were part-time employees. They did a good job. They were paid X number of dollars a month. And during their employment in those capacities, they had cause to send out an email that said that they were working full time for a church that they're very involved in. When Glenn died, I went to that church and it was an amazing ceremony. But regardless, they represented that they were full time. So they both filed for employment insurance benefits. And over the years, I've done that typically for clients of mine who are employees, and then the statute has to do for cause. Typically, if you've been warned about a company rule, and then you violate that rule, and you commit a crime, and you do something to damage company property. So then if they apply, and there's a bunch of case law, that's reported cases that says in those instances, if they apply, they can be denied because they violated the statute. In their instances, they don't come under that statute because they didn't do anything. They weren't fired, they resigned. So they both filed for unemployment insurance benefits. Roy's, we started and didn't finish. And then last week or the week before, we finished Betty's. And these hearing officers usually get their opinions out in 3 weeks. So I suspect sometime this week or next week, we'll get an opinion from the unemployment insurance office about her status as to whether she gets benefits or not. And then either side, the losing side, can appeal to a three-person commission. They usually get it right. I had a case taken all the way up to the Court of Appeals in this state, and they benefited. And I won at the Court of Appeals. I won at the hearing level, and I won at every level after that, the harder the day. Okay. And anyway, $48,000 had to be paid back because it's ordered that fight. So, regardless, Roy's is coming up, I think.
Tuesday, 2 o'clock.
Tuesday next week, and we'll finish that. And then we'll get an opinion later. So, if one or both are going to prevail, I think each case is going to go the same way. But if they do, then it's up to the commission to decide if we get an adverse ruling to file an appeal. The problem is that usually it's a 10-day window. So you can't have, I guess we could call a special meeting. So regardless, that's where we stay. We should get a decision on Mrs. Coleman this week or early next week, and then Lori within 3 weeks after next Tuesday. So that's where we stand on that. It's been hard for me because they're my friends. I mean, we've had lunches together, and very hard. So anyway, that's where we stand on that. Want me to keep going? Or do you have to
No. I want to stop so that we don't have to have a special meeting. I'd like to make a motion that we press forward with an appeal if we get an adverse answer to us. In other words, if they come back and say that Mrs. Coleman and or Roy, okay, Coleman, are eligible for unemployment, I would like to take it to the next level, up to the three-person panel. So that's my motion, that we just continue to move forward to deny that unemployment.
Can I ask a question?
No.
To deny unemployment?
No. Why? Okay.
Why
okay, Melissa.
Question? I'm curious.
Okay. Go ahead.
Financially, how much are they going to draw? Because you only draw a certain amount, and it's 66 to be earned, blah, blah, blah.
It doesn't matter.
So
it doesn't matter because they're not eligible. They resigned, and they resigned.
I get all that, Bob. I've done it before.
I know.
I've been in front of the board, blah, blah, blah. But financially, does it make sense for us for them to continue to fight it when maybe they're only getting $50 a month?
Because
my question is, how much is it going to cost us?
Well, the thing is, depending on what they take out of our reserve, we have a reserve, okay? And that reserve, it's based off of our income. In other words, they take a percentage out of our paycheck, or we pay as a city. It's taxpayers' money going into the unemployment trust. It's not Roy's and Betty's. It's taxpayers' money. We pay our salaries, and within that salary, that is an employer contribution that the employer makes. Roy and Betty never made any. You don't pay into unemployment tax out of your paycheck.
That wasn't my question.
It
my question was, how much is it going to cost the city to fight it?
I fight it, and it doesn't cost anything.
City attorney, I'll drive them up to Frankfurt. With, no, I'll go with them.
It's all on tape.
So, listen,
yes.
Just so you know, and I learned this through my employment, when an employer chooses to fight it or pay it, it raises your rate. So it will cost the city, maybe not this year, but it will down the line. So if you pay unemployment to an employee, then they raise your rate.
Right.
So it does cost the city.
Thank you for that.
Exactly.
Right.
That's what.
Right.
That's why I was asking that.
That's
right.
That's what I was asking.
Maybe right. It's part of Steve's salary, but it's still his salary.
Yeah, it's, it may be just pittance. It may not amount to much. It's just that. It is our reserve. It's a city taxpayer's reserve, and we have an obligation to the taxpayers to fight for.
I understand that.
Okay.
I didn't know how
much. I think it's a, not maybe on my part, but an intellectual exercise because I've done this a long time and I just don't see how it's going to be.
Okay.
I don't either, honestly, but it's just a question.
Do I hear a motion to proceed if we have to on appealing to the board?
I make that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Eichenberger. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right, I didn't hear any opposed, so I guess we all vote for it. All right. The next thing that, is there anything? I know I seem like I run this. Steve, the rental ordinance?
Yes.
Okay, I tweaked them a little bit.
Okay.
You want to look at it real quick?
Yeah, let me say this. I'm gonna send everybody.
I've got copies.
The letters that I sent to the city.
Okay.
Board, so everybody's on the same page.
Okay.
And I think what you'll see, all I got was information that said in this instance there were six older defense and stuff. Some were similar, some were different. So you'll be able to see what these letters say and what. And I did copy Dawn, and I thought she was going to be looping them off, so for that I apologize, but I'll send the form letters to that the commissioner has sent for years, and I don't get into this trip bag, because like I told the people at home, I didn't see it. I didn't reserve anything. Alright, so we have a renters ordinance.
Here, let me, I've got copies for... All I have is, I don't have the mobile ordinance that applies to this, but this is the rental ordinance. You can see, I tweaked the number 3.
Yeah, I don't have the copy. No.
We already have one.
I changed the number 3.
We're getting ready.
Just over and they have to submit.
We amended ours a couple years ago.
There we go. Okay.
Does that meet your approval?
No, I mean, it's whatever you guys want. And I sent out earlier today, and it may have been late, I don't know if you guys got it or not, but I sent copies of everything I'm going to talk about. Let me go to this. Okay, this would be the second reading, I believe.
Yeah, this is the second reading.
All right, so this is what I sent one out and Bob's added the 3. This is the second reading of Ordinance 3, Series 2019. Ordinance 3, Series 2019, rental property ordinance of the City of Woodlands Hills, Kentucky, here ordained by the City of Woodlands Hills, that Section 1, pursuant to KRS 83A, this is the enabling statute, okay? So you have statutes that permit people to do certain things. So this is a statute regarding rental properties. City adopts Chapter 119 of the Louisville Metro Code of Ordinance. So City of Louisville has a renter's ordinance, and we're incorporating that by reference. There's a statute that authorizes cities to do that. Section 2, a copy of Chapter 119 shall be filed with Ordinance Number 3, Series 2019, and made a part of the permanent records of the city. I suspect also that those will be posted.
Right, they'll be on the website.
Okay. And then, why don't I add that?
Okay.
Posted. 3, rental property owners What I had in mind was that they just register a piece of rental property between July 2nd and July 31st and we filed between this month's father's added that this rental property owner shall follow City of Burnsville's rental property registration form with City Property Commissioners. City Property Commission. Is that the property?
No, it's City Maintenance, or the thing I believe. I just copied what you have, but it's Property Maintenance Commissioner.
Property Maintenance.
Right. I just left that property maintenance. I left that maintenance.
Within 3 days of the rental lease change, maybe what I'll put in there is each town's property is lease. Is that okay?
Well, you got to do it by change.
Well, okay. So you're talking about an existing lease where they might change the land?
Right. Yeah. Well, if they change from one person to the next, you know,
no,
you have one renter to the next.
Yeah, but that would be a rental lease change. That could mean that I'm leasing the property, but we change something, we rent or something else. We don't want that. So I think what we put is each time the property is leased.
Okay.
And then Bob puts the website in here. Or by contacting the City Property Maintenance Commission phone number list.
Does anybody object to having the form filled out every time the property changes renters?
Absolutely not. No, that needs to be done.
Yes. Okay, that's why there may be, we can tweak this. That's why I tried to call you. We can make that paragraph what it needs to be. But that's what I was trying to say in that paragraph, that every time, because we talked about this the last time, if I remember right, that every time a renter changes, that we get a new form so that we know who the new rental people are, okay? Or that they've changed renters in there. And then annually, once a year, when they get their tax bill, we put this is what, Steve, I left that part in there between July and July 31st because we may, you know, it would just be nice to get it annually and make sure that they're not sneaking anything past us.
And we're not charging anything for filings.
Yeah.
Also, I think what we might put here is instead of calling the commissioner, maybe by contacting the commissioner by email, and then all you have to do is send them email back from that.
Well, okay. Yeah, we can do that. Yeah.
Email.
Yeah.
All right. Pass and approve this 21st day of May 2019 as regularly scheduled to me in the legislative body of City of Burnsville pursuant to law. If I make those changes, then you need to take a vote.
Do we want to wait till
How will it read exactly? Rental property owners shall file a city rental property registry form with the City Property Commissioner.
It should be Property Maintenance Commissioner. We're missing on the word maintenance.
With upon any new rental.
Well, let me ask this question: are we going to make this effective July 1?
Yes.
Okay, so then we can read it. I can make these changes and read it next month.
Right.
And make an effective job.
Right. I want to. Yeah. And one of the things is want to get it out with the tax bill.
Yeah. So I'm going to make
an effective job. I have a question over here.
And this may already be here, but I'm not reading it. So this is basically for new leases. However, what about the people that are already renting?
Okay.
So who's that?
This is why. This goes into effect July 1st. They have to do it annually. Okay, so if there's somebody already in the rental property now, or making effective July 1st.
That they are going to.
Right. Okay. And this is going to go out with the tax bill also.
Okay.
This is going out with the tax bill. This notice.
Why don't you? I mean, I just a suggestion to indicate existing rentals as well.
Well, I think. Rental property owners are going to have to, between July 1 and July 31st of 2019,
right,
do this.
Every year they're going to have to do it between July.
I hear you.
Does that make sense?
It does, but the way I'm reading this is the rental lease change annually. So if the lease is going to change, and then they start annually. Those are for the people who are starting as of the first, and they may change.
Oh, you want to say and for and for current and
yes.
existing,
mm-hmm.
or for current and future
yes. or
years annually between July 1st and
yes, the people that are renting mm-hmm. currently.
Okay, good point.
You
this
see,
is why
in my drafts I had that. Rental property owner shall annually file a female property registry form to the city property commissioner between July 2nd and July 31st. So that would include.
Why didn't you do it on July 1st? That's what I never figured out.
Because July 2nd, 1st is, I don't know. July 1st, just to make you ask the question.
All right, Darren,
I covered that, and then Bob had this language, right. And then, so you're right, it has to be clarified. So
right.
I'll clean this up, we can have it.
Right. We'll send it out before then.
I will send it
yeah,
out.
I'm just trying to get clarity on this. So this is basically, if you have a, if there's a rental property, it's a way for the city to keep a record of who's actually living in the house.
It's a record to know what properties are rental properties, and also when we put the form together, the rental registration form, which goes along with this, okay. It'll actually give us contact names. Right now, all we have is the tax rolls, and some people have property maintenance people, property managers, okay? So when a property gets out of hand, rather than trying to contact the owner that might be in Dubai, because we do have one that lives in Dubai, okay, we will be able to get a hold of the manager to get the problems resolved. Plus, it also, we identify problems with property, okay, we now know who the owner is, and we can take action with it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we know the owner by tax rolls, but it may not be the, you know, owner may have the management people.
Sure. So, and then the second part of that is does the city of Worthington have a limitation of max limit on rental properties in the area?
That's a good question.
That came up before.
We do
it.
We do it at condominiums. We have a understanding.
Yeah. And that's why I was there. I didn't know because.
Well, see, the thing is, we're referencing the Louisville ordinance. Okay, so
okay.
We've got to kind of. I don't know what limitations we have. Steve's the attorney on it.
Okay.
Two things. They can do that because it's a homeowners association, and the people that are there have to abide by their bylaws.
Right.
Here you've got a constitutional issue of whether or not you can restrict that number. So that came up before, and I'll look into that. I think it's a constitutional breach if you put a limitation because it's not equal protection.
Okay.
You know, if it's and 10 and I'm the 11th one, and then I don't get that, then
right.
You know, I have a problem.
And I was just curious because that's what we have in our condo.
Okay.
We have a 10% max
right.
five.
Which makes sense.
If you buy a house and you plan on renting it, you're the 6th one. Well,
you have to prove by your staff to take it past your board.
Well, and what
go ahead.
If you have more than a certain percentage,
right,
then,
right.
then you're
hang
not
on, I got a question up here with Mr. Small.
What's determined if something's around property? If I rent my house out for Derby and get $5,000, is that around property?
No.
Well, no. I mean,
I understand what you're saying. There's a good point. Dan's got a good point.
What if it's an Airbnb? I rent it out. 6 months out of the
year. Well, there is rules in here in the Louisville registration.
You can't do that.
There is rules.
Only occupied a certain period.
Right. There is rules within the ordinance of Louisville pertaining to those.
Here's where we've incorporated when this goes to law.
Exactly.
We're incorporating the city ordinance, okay? So that would include everything in the ordinance.
Yeah, we have an owner. He owns 5 properties in our condominium community, and he's renting as an Airbnb, and we just don't want that.
Do we need to address the Airbnb?
It's an acronym or something. What is the Airbnb?
It's air bed and breakfast. Yeah.
Air bed and it has to do with you flying from point A to point B. I asked the same question. So.
Why do they call it Uber? Somebody made the name of it.
So I'll bring that up. Also, I prepared a very nice mineralization plan. Somebody borrowed from another jurisdiction and Bob prepared this one. Mine's prettier, but what I'm going to do is disseminate these to the commissioners so that you guys can weigh in. You can mark them up. You can send me ideas so that we need to agree on a form.
Right. Yeah. And Victoria says that we can do online registration, but as far as when they'll have to print it out and either email or fax it to us. So they don't have a collection mechanism. They can actually do the form, print it out, and send it. But I like the email better. Okay, so Steve's going to... Is there anything else we need to add to this small rental property? I gave you all a copy of the Chapter 119 ordinance. But do we need to address this Airbnb or this week? My attitude is that they're just renting it out for a week for Derby. It's not a rental property. It's
no.
You get to use my property for 1 week and I get $5,000 for it.
Okay, how much fees? I'm just saying at some point someone's going to say, well, where's the line drawn?
Well, you're living there as a majority.
So,
well, what's the difference if you have someone to buy these units property for 6 years? I mean, you know, what's the difference between that and an Airbnb for 6 months? I don't understand the one.
Airbnbs are typically short-term.
Yeah, they're
so it's just like a short-term lease is all it is.
Yeah.
Maybe I misunderstand what's going on there.
But Airbnb, people are in and out. Normally, I mean, it comes a little bit.
It probably needs to be listed that Airbnb. I didn't see Airbnb on this list. But we probably should address that this pertains to Airbnbs also. Because, like you said, somebody
might. So, if it's an Airbnb, you're going to make them fill out one of these every time they get someone coming to stay?
Or at least registered.
There's a good idea.
Airbnb.
Yeah, registered as an Airbnb. Right. That's a good
point. What the city ordinance requires.
It says hotel, motel. Okay, registration provision of 119.3 shall apply to all rental housing units with the exception of hotel, motels, inn, bed, and breakfasts, or similar accommodations that provide lodging for transit guests.
Sure,
I almost said transit.
Airbnb is a
fall. Yeah, Airbnb falls into B. Okay, so Airbnbs don't fall into this.
Sorry.
That's okay. It's a good point, Dan. I mean, no, if we start having a problem with Airbnbs, we'll address it later.
Okay.
Okay, that sound cool? All right. Are we done with it? So Steve's going to clean this up, send this out to us. And he'll send out the registration form, which we really need to make it smaller so we can get it on one page.
You know, there's too much to do, I think. All this confusion and stuff.
Yeah.
But, because you guys can take a look at it. I'm going to start sending you guys everything.
Okay.
Well, you know.
I'll wait till the day before. Okay.
Okay. Now, Bob, there's confusion about the parking ordinance, and the parking ordinance has been amended so many times, and I was asked to reduce the parking ordinance to simplistic form, because if we posted the current, when you amend an ordinance, you have to line through the old and underline the new, and unless you're trained to do that, people look at that and say, this is insane, I can't understand it. So what I sent out, what I believe to be a concise reflection of what the law is in terms of parking. Vehicles cannot be parked on paved or unpaved surfaces. The parking ordinance talks about they put them in different sections. The unpaved surface would be like in someone's lawn in case there's a funeral or an instant festival tournament or something. And there's a parking permit that is secured through in this instance, Dennis. And there's a form that we filled out and prepared, and that can be posted with this. But this is easy to understand, I think. Vehicles cannot be parked on paved or unpaved surfaces unless the vehicle owner places a city-authorized parking permit on the vehicle dashboard. The parking permit application is posted with this document. That instructs you on how to do it. You put in there what it's for. You know, if it's a funeral, it's an emergency. We all know that that's probably, we're not going to ticket for that if you see a bunch of mourners. But if it's a 4th of July party, if it's an NCAA party, if it's Easter Sunday or whatever, the parking permit has to be secured. Within that permit, they put in how long the event's going to be and what it's for. Then it's up to Dennis typically to approve that. There's no reason not to approve it. And then they put the time limit, you know, for 24 hours or whatever. So someone looks at the parking permit online, they fill it out, they transmit it to Dennis, he signs and dates it. Owners of illegally parked vehicles may be cited and fined for between $15 and $100 for each violation. That means each day they should be violated. And their vehicles towed and stored at their expense. That's a situation where you have, for example, someone parked on a cul-de-sac where emergency vehicles can't get by. So those vehicles are going to be towed because emergency vehicles can't get by. Other people cannot traverse to get along down that street. So if in that situation, and it's up to the police to make that determination, it's an emergency situation. If they're parked on Northumberland Drive, if you've got people parked on either side of the street and you can't get through there, then it's up to them to make that decision. They have a copy of the parking ordinance. They can have that towed. There's a towing company up here, Tony's or something.
Yeah.
You call them up and they tow it. And if it's towed, they have to pay the freight for doing that. And the citation will tell why the vehicle is towed, because it's skewing traffic on the street. So to me, that's quite clean. And I think I sent that to everybody today. I don't know what time. If you got that.
That was last week. It's been 2 weeks ago he sent it out.
Well, I did today again just before the meeting.
Oh, I got a question. Dennis has got a copy of it.
Okay. I got a question.
Oh, what? Okay, Mr. Commissioner Metcalf.
Okay. You know, the person on Lunenburg has been complaining.
Yes.
Okay. Linda gave me a suggestion, and we'll see what everybody thinks about it. Create a temporary parking pass that we can issue that people can pay us a small fee for, and that each one of these is registered with a number, so that we can keep track of if they have a legal pass in their window or not.
A legal what?
A legal parking pass or something. This doesn't include all of them, but let's say somebody comes to your house at midnight and they spend the night, and then that's where they're going to get a citation if they're parked on the street when there's no space to park in the driveway.
You got,
I don't know what you guys think
about it. Issue on it.
Yeah, on the weekends, we're here later.
And of course. Okay, explain that to me again. I don't understand.
Well, let me explain it better. Okay.
What I found out was. Give everybody that lives in the city an opportunity to contact Dennis and say, may I please have 2 temporary parking passes that I can keep in my house, so when so-and-so comes to visit me or whatever, I can let them put this on their car. And Dennis would say, okay, what's your address? And I'll just say 4510 Pulaski, whatever. So Dennis would make the pass out, but he would write down the number on the pass would be 4510. Then he would know the name and the address of the person. Then 2 days later, Dennis is out doing his drive around, and he sees this car sitting there, and it's got 4510 on it, or there's somebody parked there without a 4510, and he knows they need a ticket because they've been here too long. But it would give people the opportunity to ask for parking passes to have at home. When somebody shows up at, like you said, at midnight, and you say, here's the parking pass, go put this on your car, so you don't get a ticket. That was just
an idea. And that would only be good for a certain length of time?
Right, it would be permanent.
They would be good for like
24 hours, 48 hours.
I gotta buy it through that parking pass today, and I don't have my company till the weekend.
You can still keep it. It's good till.
How are you gonna know it's been sitting there 24 hours?
Because they put it in the car when the car arrives. They put it in the car.
Right.
Yeah.
And nobody rides by for 15 hours to know it's been sitting there. When 24 hours hits, how are you going to know it's 24 hours?
I guess when they put it in the car, they have to write what time they're starting their 24 hour period.
Yeah, start. Yeah,
if they put it in, they put it in their blank, then I guess.
Yeah, they would have a date and time when they put it in the car.
Yeah.
A date and time they're putting in the car.
Could I make a suggestion? Is there any way that that parking permit can be put on the website so that
we can put it on the website?
And then I would.
But it has to be approved by the
commission.
Go ahead.
Let me finish. Then after I fill this out and send it to Dennis, hopefully it would get back to me quicker than it seems to be getting right now, because this is the biggest complaint on next door about they have somebody all of a sudden come, they have a party, and not everybody has a permit.
Well, Dennis isn't going to be up at 11 o'clock at night.
Well, no, I'm not saying 11 o'clock at night. I'm talking about if I'm going to have a party tomorrow.
Okay.
But it says the parking permit application is posted online. It would be filled out.
Well, someone says it's not.
Well, it's not there yet.
Okay.
So I suppose you print that and then you sign it. If they can scan it, send it to Dennis. If not, they're going to somehow get it to you for a signature.
Yeah.
And then with he, I don't know if everybody has scanners anymore. I mean, I have them. I don't think they have any present scanners. Maybe fax machines. I don't know. But that's a logistics thing. But that'll be posted with this. And I think if you have the two, and then I think it becomes simple.
That's another thing. Victoria, we can check with Victoria and see if she can post the document on there so they can fill it in.
Right.
And then just print it out. And or email it to you straight from there.
Mm-hmm.
We can check with Victoria. Victoria is our contact with our website. So
you'd have to make it. You'd have to enable it to be
right.
Added to.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
It's your thing, Linda. I just, you know, I'm totally never asked it. I don't get a vote, but it seems to me that it would be abused. I mean, every day I've got someone who's playing poker or something like that.
How often are they approved?
They're not denied.
So I guess what I'm saying is, it's like what the neighbor across from me just said, if she's having a party tomorrow, how often will Mr. Commissioner Metcalf approve that?
Our phone numbers.
It would be on demand. They would send it to Dennis and Dennis would approve it.
Our phone numbers with our extensions are on the website. Okay? And those phone numbers, the extensions either go to voicemail or go to the person. Mine goes directly to me.
These are short-term permits. I mean, usually
these are short-term permits. She's looking at how quick a turnaround time.
Well, obviously, if they get it to Dennis, they're not. What happens in my business? Someone calls up and says, "I know the house is burning. Do something. I got to drop everything." But you know, maybe you put in there that the permit has to be submitted within 7 days.
Well, no, you can't do that. That's the problem that we have. Before we got people that show up like the one on Lindbergh, they're showing up in the middle of the night. Now, here again is, I don't want to call him Dennis in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Those particular tickets, the ones that got the tickets were on the pay, were in the easement. Okay, and there is a Louisville. Those tickets were written by Louisville PD, LMPD, okay? Because the tires, all four tires, if they're going to be parked, have to be on paved surfaces. LMPD, whether it's during the day, code enforcement will be out here. LMPD can run this neighborhood at any time because we are in the county. We're subject to county ordinances, and unfortunately, when they made this a metro, we're subject to all the metro ordinances, even though we have our own little town here. So any LMPD officer having a bad day could come through Wording Hills, just have a field day. Really.
To go back to your question, obviously it's going to have to be tenor to town. He's not going to get up in the middle of the night and there's a pain.
Right.
It's going to have to be, if they apply for it and they don't have a permit and people start showing up, that's to be enough time for him to look at some of the approval.
And I can just, I hear you saying that, but someone that is just going to the website may not, and if it's not indicated,
okay. Well,
maybe that's something to think about.
Or to secure or to request a permit electronically from, it can be like this other form. You know, if they don't have access to the, if they can't get on the website and can't access the phone, then they're going to have to secure a copy either by calling Dennis and having an email to him, or to send an email to him requesting that they email it. All the email addresses are posted. So someone has email, it seems to me that they would get on the webpage. I think
we would have to limit it to say this permit expires in 48 hours.
Yeah.
And then that way that keeps somebody from going on there getting
I'll send the permit around.
There's still a problem, though, with the park permits, because the cul-de-sac streets, the old cul-de-sac streets, are all 11 foot wide. I know because I used to be the road commissioner and I measured them all. Okay. Fire trucks are 8 foot wide. And if you try to park a 6 foot wide car, a 5.5 foot wide car, you're already into the path of the emergency vehicle. And it's not just fire trucks, it's the ambulances and everything. And that's what this is one of the reasons why we've had such an issue with parking on the street, period. Because if we some of the streets are wide enough so that you still have the ability to pass by with an emergency vehicle, but I guarantee you, on the streets that are the cul-de-sacs,
permits won't be given for those. Dennis will just have to know not to issue permits.
Well, see, there again is, now we're getting the discrimination on where you live.
Because
you
if
can't
you
do
have,
that, because people have parties, you have graduations, you have weddings, you have baby showers.
It's back to an emergency situation.
Well, if it's an emergency, if the fire department will plow right over you. They'll move your vehicle, or they'll plow right over you. They don't.
Well, we're going to address this, okay? We've just got to move on.
I'm sending these permits out soon. I think Linda's idea is good. It needs to be better, though, I think.
You see what we deal with here? Yeah, you know, everybody's got a reason for everything.
We got those cars that are parking on four concrete blocks in their yards.
Code enforcement allowed them to do it. Because code enforcement has been out and looked at it.
So it doesn't allow it, does not allow it.
He put it this way. I know which house you're talking about, and they did have a violation on code enforcement, okay? But it has since been removed. So I don't really know.
Here's another thing. If you see a nuisance, not a parked car, but if you see someone that's got a stored old refrigerator in the backyard, 311 is the number to call. And they'll send out a code enforcement officer to look at it, okay? And I always tell people 311 at first, because then maybe we don't get bogged down on it. But I think
we got to move forward.
I have one more thing on the parking permit, please. Can we discuss later about not needing parking permits for Christmas, Thanksgiving, Derby Day, major holidays like that?
I agree with that. But again, the problem is we get into these cul-de-sacs. You know, it's 4th July 1993 or 4, the house across from mine burnt to the ground. Okay? From pop bottle rockets. So, here again is, had they had to stop and try to push a car or whatever, it would have burnt the ground anyhow, but it just would have been, you know, there was no way. They got there when the roof was smoking anyhow. It was history. So the point is, again, it goes back to the cul-de-sacs. Cul-de-sacs are a real problem. And even Ludenberg is, it, even though it's 14 feet, I think, why 14 or 16, all these streets weren't designed. The only one that you can possibly park on is Northumberland, period. I mean, we do have Chesterfield. One of the things I thought was, well, somebody wants to do a valet, okay? They can basically make a living, you know, taking the cars from where the party is and parking it over on Chesterfield and then running back to wherever the heck they're at. You know, maybe we'll get a little...
Get a golf cart.
Yeah, run around with a valet, okay? Yeah, you know, this is a big joke, but Chesterfield is an empty street, and that is an option that, you know, maybe we need to put the parking spots over there. Yeah, now we're talking about vandalism, so what the heck, you know? All right, we need to move along.
A few other things. The ordinance does say all four on the pavement, but and then it says you can park on unpaved surface.
Yeah.
So what I do is I combine them. So it means that if you park, you've got a permit, and someone parks two on the road and two on the grass, it's okay. Okay, you don't have to have all four.
Well, that's why headline maybe comes through.
All right. So I need one other thing to do.
Right.
And all right. We get into this vacant property situation where properties become vacant and the owners are absent and no one's taking care of the properties. Typically, in those instances, there's a foreclosure action. And I've recorded over the years a bunch of tax liens. And even if there is not a tax lien, the attorneys that do foreclosure actions, that typically means that they're not paying their mortgage. So there's a foreclosure statute that says you can foreclose and sell that property at a commissioner's sale. So what we're trying to do here is that if a property becomes vacant and if a foreclosure action is filed, that we're notified of that. Now, typically, we'll find out if they make us a party to an action. If you have a mechanics lien, a judgment lien, and a mortgage lien on a house, and I do construction for someone and they don't pay me, I file a mechanics lien and then I wanted my money, so I file an action in circuit court to enforce my lien, I've got to do a title search and name the mortgage company, the city tax for tax liens on it. So anybody who has a lien on their property has to be named a party so that they can come forward and protect their interest in that property, because it's typically a tax lien. So when properties become vacant, we're requiring the lender in a foreclosure action or anybody else to notify us. And I'm just going to do a quick first reading. First reading would be perfunctory. This is an ordinance for the city of Woodland Hills, whereas an existing vacant house is okay in the city of Woodland Hills, has resulted in reduced property values, which I hear about, and adversely affected the health and safety of city residents because it attracts maybe drug dealers, it attracts kids drinking beer or something, it attracts people like me, I don't want them. Now, therefore, we are deemed by the city that the purpose of this ordinance is to establish a registration system for vacant houses. Definitions, creditor shall mean the plaintiff in the foreclosure action. Vacant residential property shall mean resident-free property located, I spent a lot of time on this, resident-free property located in the city. That means properties that don't have a resident, be it the owner or a tenant or anybody else. Registration, plaintiffs of vacant residential property lawsuits can deed the new foreclosure. What happens is someone forecloses against me, and usually what they're trying to do is just get the property back. They know these people don't have money. They're not trying to recover the balance of the mortgage. They just want to gain the property so that they can protect it, fix it up, and resell it. So a deed in lieu of foreclosure means that if I get foreclosed on, it's inevitable, I'm moving out, I don't have any money, instead of going through this foreclosure process, there's a deed called a deed in lieu of foreclosure. Stop the foreclosure, I'll just transfer the property to the lender. Okay, so that's what that means. And there's going to be a requirement that a form for that. Maintenance, plaintiffs, and grantors. Grantors are, when you sell property, you're the grantor, the grantee is the one who gets the property. So we're requiring plaintiffs in these actions and grantees, it should be, instead of grantors, ones that are buying it and the deed in foreclosure, shall be responsible for complying with this and other city ordinances and be subject to penalties and provisions. That would be like if they had a nuisance and they're jumping old refrigerators. For failing to file a registration form, either the plaintiff or grantee of a deed in lieu of foreclosure shall be subject to a civil fine from between $100 and $500. unpaid fines being reported as a lien with the Jefferson County Clerk. So if they don't pay him, then we can just, I can record a lien for that. Pass and approve, this would be next month. So that's the first reading of that. There might be a constitutional issue there that have to be raised. I don't see one, but there might be one.
I'll let somebody raise it.
I'm done. Unless anybody has any questions, and again, I apologize for being a jerk. I apologize to my wife all the time.
Everybody apologizes to their wife. Is there any questions regarding any of this? Just trying to. Another good reason for having this is we can tell our security patrol of the houses so they can check on them. Okay? Alright, next is old business. Does any city commissioner have old business that they would like to discuss? Okay? I got the meeting location. Here's what. This is what we have all wanted to know all these years. We have the room the whole day for what we're paying now. Okay? So I just talked to Andrew when we come in tonight. Andrew says we will have the ability to use this room. I don't know if it's 10 or 9 or 10 a.m. in the morning, but for us, for our code enforcement board or any committees we have or anything, the day that we have the city meeting, we will be able to use it for other open meeting required groups, okay? Because all the groups that have to do anything that are part of the city's ordained stuff have to have open meetings. So now, no matter if we do it here or in another one, what we need to look at it is we get the rental for the whole day rather than just for the 2 hours. That way we've got a good opportunity to make things happen at Worthington Hills. How that sound, guys? So
for the same price?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. What you saw tonight on the expense form, which is our price minus, that's our price. It would have been Kentucky sales tax had I not got the exemption form over here. There's a room tax. It's basically $150 plus a room tax. They can't get you out of the room tax because that's something that goes to the visitors, okay? You can't get out of it. All right? So that's what I want to bring up. If somebody wants to go out and look for another location, here's the price is what you saw. What's that price on our worksheet? $164.25 is the budget number, and that's
no prepay.
Here's what I worked out with them. Okay, Andrew agreed. I have signed up, even though we may not be here. I signed up for till July of next year, but I only come in by the Tuesday before the city meeting for him to keep the room with us. Okay, his only requirement was by Tuesday before the city meeting, we've got to have it anyhow. So I didn't see any problem with coming in here the week before. Yes, I made a judgment call on that one, but here again is we're not paying the full year in advance like we were before, and we also have the full room for the whole day. And I thought that was a good alternative. So that's what that's all about. So with that, if you want to continue looking, I encourage you to continue looking. This is what we have. It's going to be in the budget, okay, or what is the amount to the operations expense. Okay, is there any questions on that? Nope, that's good. All right. Next on here, the backup drives. There are stuff on the backup drives they have found that has been deleted. Okay? Because all he did was search for deleted files. Alright? I don't know what they are yet. So the Girl Scout, has everybody seen the little white spots going down on the streets?
Mm-hmm. And they really look good where there's a curve.
Yeah.
I mean, they really do.
Yeah.
Those are the hardest to do where there's
yeah.
We have those on Bay Run.
And the storage unit is looking mighty fine. Thank you, Commissioner Abell, Commissioner Campbell, and Commissioner Eichenberg. We appreciate that. We can't wait to get all the files in some sort of order once they're in the, now that they're in the boxes. All right. I'm done with old business. Did we move to new movie? Oh, wait a minute. Everybody got the budget stuff, because we're not going to talk about it tonight, but we're definitely talking about it next month.
Yeah.
I'm going to need to go through that, okay? I tried to make it simple. I had Dan go through and give us our... I'll get him to give us another update for the June, so we know what we've got through May on the P&L, okay? So, just want to do that. I was going to do it tonight, but it's running low. All right, new business.
I have new business.
All right, go ahead, Commissioner Campbell.
Okay. I was going through our four-drawer file, my husband and I, about 3 weeks ago, and lo and behold, hidden in this file, I found this sheet of paper. And it is, so you know how long this has been hiding in my drawer. It is the first invitation to the first Worthington Hills meeting on March 18, 1980, and it was the third Tuesday of the month, so it was that. And the interesting thing on this wonderful, they gave some background, how they, the petition, the, there were people that went around the neighborhood in November of 79, and they signed a petition, and then on January 31st, in 1980, they had a hearing, and Worthington Hills was incorporated as a sixth-class city. And the judge appointed five trustees.
Mm-hmm.
We have one with us tonight.
That was Charles Leeson.
So here is the original Estelle Cisneros. I have the original part on the back.
That's beautiful.
And I have a stand for it also. But Estelle, and I have copies for everybody. Bond is standard. It will go on the website.
Estelle, thank you. That's awesome. Stephanie's got me in trouble as a commissioner when she
resigned. I thought it was so neat that the judge appointed five trustees, and then they had to wait till the November election to be elected.
That's awesome.
We spoke the city meetings originally in someone's house. Yeah. I wonder, and then yes, the mayor who came down the line to the woman.
So we're going to pass these out. Oh, Donna.
Donna Tucker, what they paid me a month back then? Jimmy and Crawford was a year in prison.
Why did that take
Jimmy was talking. Charles Siegel.
Name sounds, but yeah.
Okay.
Estelle, you still got the same phone number?
Yes, she does. I still have the same home line, the landline.
And here's a stand.
Thank you.
That's very nice.
George Hollander. And he's not still living here.
No, I live in his house.
Yes, get my right. He lives in his house.
He got a dick bulb for him to live here.
But I thought his name was Charles Hollander.
Charles Leeson is the judge who signed it.
He was associate pastor. Hollander was associate pastor at Westport Road Baptist Church.
It's right here.
And Sandy Calhoun was the president when we moved there in 77.
Yeah.
Sandy Calhoun lives in the White House. As you come out of Williamsburg, if you don't turn right, you're on the she was the president of the Homeowners Association when we moved
there. Okay, can we move along? We can jolly afterwards.
Rich and Roxanne Butar have moved. I've got more than moved to, and he's a builder.
And mm-hmm. he was a builder then.
All right, very nice. Let's move along to the KLCIS proposal. I know we've had some discussions on the phone. When I sent the email out this afternoon on the insurance, I meant that we could take that off if we needed to. We weren't required to absolutely have it. So we need to, has everybody looked over the insurance proposal? Is there anybody that's got any questions on it? Because I can't answer it.
Well, I talked to the gentleman, another underwriter, and the way she explained it to me is if we take off the property, we can take off the, what was the second one?
Property and crime.
Oh, crime.
Crime. We can take off the crime
okay.
and keep the property, but we can't take off the property and keep the crime.
Okay.
The crime would help, would say, for instance, somebody broke into the treasurer's house
okay.
and stole the checkbook.
Okay, good point.
And wrote a big old check.
Okay.
Then the city would be cut.
Okay.
I'm
glad you got
it. If somebody comes around the curve and hits our sign, our entrance sign, we'd be covered. Well, we wouldn't if we drop it. But as I looked over it too, the deductible is $500. The insurance is $800 and something a year. I don't know what it would cost to replace the sign, but it's still the deductible. I don't see any reason to keep it. I don't see any reason to keep those two on the on the insurance.
Your sign in the front of the subdivision is going to be covered by, if I hit it, it's going to be covered by my insurance.
Right.
It's not going to be covered by your own.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. So I don't see any reason to keep those.
Okay.
Those on.
Well, this is the reason why I brought this up this afternoon was I know there was some conflict in thought on that, but I like the fact that I did not make a decision. I was just saying that we could take it off.
Okay.
All right. But the other thing is you brought up a good point. If somebody was to break into somebody's home, we don't keep cash in the houses, but if they were to break in and steal the computers mm-hmm. or Lord forbid damage something, you know, if they did damage to the area, we do have that protection. But I wanted to make it aware that just because I had those proposals for that particular coverage, we had the right, the only one that we really need to have is the workers' comp and the general liability.
Yeah. There was one in here about insurance on an automobile.
Right. When you're driving your car doing city business,
mm-hmm.
we're responsible for any accidents as a city.
Your personal insurance will cover it.
Will cover it.
I didn't know that.
No. So that's the reason why it's on there.
So
we haven't had that.
Going to the post office?
Yeah. They went through our policy, and Dennis will tell you, I mean, he says, you've got stuff that you should have and you don't have. Now, there's one thing that I don't know if you noticed. We do have, by reinsurance, the reinsurance carrier is providing without cost coverage for the internet stuff. I don't really want to get into what it is, but it's additional coverage that we don't have on our current policy either. But it's things that have to do with the internet disclosures and stuff like that. So we've got coverage there. It's on the very last page, but that's all part of that policy. So again, I guess I'd like to make a motion that we move forward and go ahead and let them know that we're planning on going ahead with the policy.
I'll make that motion.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Bedell. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Now, this is for my understanding. We're doing away with the property and the crime.
Right.
We're just going to go with the general liability and the workers' comp.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So I've got a first, and Commissioner Eichenberger, mm-hmm. second. I'm going to take a vote, a roll call vote. Who wants to be first this time? All right.
Let Dennis go first.
Dennis, you go first this time.
Yes.
All right. Commissioner Bedell.
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell.
Yes.
Commissioner Eichenberger.
Yes.
Mayor Stone, yes. All right, so, it's unanimous.
Do you all have insurance on the storage units?
Yes.
Don't we have insurance on our storage?
Well, I think it's probably part of the liability insurance.
We need to check.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, I want to get that. We got a nice place now. We will check those, Estelle. That's a good question.
Good question. Yeah.
All right. What I got next here?
To be honest with you on the crime thing, as I was going through important papers, and there was no coverage. And I'm thinking, well,
okay.
That's a storage unit. And so double check that. Thank you, Estelle.
All right. PVA. We've done, like I said earlier, the PVA on the tax bills, it's been approved. They've got the new lockbox number, PVA. They're in the process of producing the bills, okay? The next thing we need to know is, are we going to use Van Louisville again this year? We've been using them the last 2 years. And
what are you talking about?
Tax bills. Tax bills to go out.
Tax bills.
Okay. We got tax bills to go out in July. Okay. Mayo Louisville, which is across the street over there in the industrial area, has done it for the past 2 years. In 2017, our cost was $433.21, and somehow in 2018, it was $317.25. Now, I had a proposal from her. She was supposed to give me, I guess I don't have it, but it's about the same cost as last year. Now, I did go back to her this morning, because in the past, all you got was a little sheet in there about, you know, this is just your notice that the tax bill's going out. If you've got an escrow account with a mortgage company, this year also, besides that, on the same page, I want to include this new rental ordinance that we're putting out, okay, on this sheet, so that the property owners, when they get their notice, know that we've got the rental ordinance in place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, to save us an extra mailing, Kim had an emergency; she had to leave, so she didn't get back to me today. But she said she didn't think there'd be that much difference in the price, and it was running. Like I said, it's running. They charge for the production. The postage, the good thing about going with them is we get their bulk rate, first class postage rate, which is lower than our 55 cents per stamp on if we did it ourselves. So, and it's done in about 20 minutes by the time they start to the time they finish. So it's all automated. So I'd like to know anybody... I'd like to make a motion we continue with Mayo Louisville again this year on doing the mailing on the tax bills, and I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
All right. Commissioner Campbell, second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right, unanimous. All right. I know. It looks like I'm only the one talking. All right. Anybody got anything else?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
I do want to preface what I'm about to do to say that this is something that we as a commission have discussed even before we became a commission, but I think with recent developments it's become even more crucial to us. And I'm going to read most of it because And I do want to say there is no malice intended at all. I'm just going to say what I'm going to read what I have to say. In 1980, the year Attorney Swiger began practicing law, the Kentucky General Assembly enacted changes in the statutes relating to how city government operates. Kentucky revised Statute 83, or KRS 83, established three plans under which cities could operate. The commission plan was one of those, and it's the plan under which the city of Worthington Hills operates. In a nutshell, all authority is vested in the city commission as a whole. Individual commissioners acting as superintendents of various departments like road commissioner, utilities commissioner, safety and health, and property commissioner, we have certain powers that we can exercise from day to day, but the ultimate authority rests with the city commission acting as a whole. Commissioner Campbell, for example, she can order replacement street signs. You know, she didn't have to get us in a meeting and do that. She can do that. She can't contract with a paving company without bringing it before the commission and getting a vote on it. I can call up LG&E and say, we got a street sign, or we got a stoplight out, we got whatever. I can call up and say, Runke, we need a new dumpster over here. I don't have to bring that before the commission. I can't call up waste management and say, we want to do a contract with you folks again. It doesn't work that way. We work as a whole. Every member, as you've noticed tonight, has a vote, and every vote's equal. The mayor, that his vote doesn't count any more than mine does. Mine doesn't count any more than Dennis's. It's all equal. Steve has been the city attorney for over 30 years. He's been through a lot of administrations. He's done a lot to help the city over the years. But this administration has noticed that as his workload has increased, his availability has decreased. And as Carol said earlier, one of the main jobs a city attorney has is to keep the commission out of trouble. And that doesn't always and hasn't always happened. I personally believe that it's the commission's duty to police each other, but I also think it's the responsibility of the city attorney to put the brakes on too. And he didn't put the brakes on with this thing with the letters. He should have said, wait a minute, this is the commission. You can't do this. You can't just go off and do this. You have to bring it before your commission. We've been in office for 139 days. That's all we've been in office for. And we worked so hard prior to taking office. We did. We worked really hard to develop goals and visions for our city, and we promised you all that we would be good stewards of your trust. You're our neighbors, you're our friends, you put your trust in us when you elected us. And we've already failed you more than once. And I feel like tonight we need to commit ourselves to just starting over. Just starting over from the get-go. And we need to realize that what's worked for almost three decades is not going to work with this commission, because we are going to do it by the book. And I am asking for a motion that we begin accepting resumes for the position of city attorney and have the position filled on or before July the 1st, 2019. Steve has said tonight himself he doesn't want to do this anymore.
I didn't say that.
You did. You said, I don't want to do it anymore. And I know you've been overwhelmed. And I sometimes think you do it because you feel like you're obligated to do it.
I love working for the city, Linda. If I said, you know, rhetorically that I don't want to do it, you talk about non-availability. I have spent more hours representing the city in the last 2 years because of the things that have gone on.
But we asked you, I know I've asked for, well, we've heard people say, I call and you don't call back. I wrote and you don't write back.
Have you ever called me? That you never called me on the phone. You have never called me.
I've said all I'm going to say.
Okay.
And that's all I got to say.
I have a question. He's an employee of the city of
He's appointed.
He's
appointed. And he is an employee.
So as an employee, would you not write him up? Rather than just going ahead and, I mean, just if there are things that he's doing incorrectly, would you not do that as since he's an employee? Write him up and then give him follow the steps. Do you have a personnel?
No, we don't have a policy on procedures. No, we don't.
I think out of respect to your peer, because I look at this just like if I was going to my job. He's my peer. So you all are all peers, regardless whether you vote, don't vote, and I obviously have no dog in this fight. But out of respect for each other, you can't have a conversation with Steve to say, you know, maybe this is the way you're perceived, or we could have done this differently, or, you know, there's a lot of ways you can approach it. If it was me, and I have been in leadership in high positions, I would hope, and I can honestly say, that my leader above me has respected me enough to come and have a conversation. Because maybe something I said was taken out of context in the meeting, or my tone could have been differently. But as a citizen of this city, what just happened is disrespectful.
I didn't mean any disrespect, but like I said,
it was disrespectful.
Steve has been a city attorney for over 30 years. He's 39 years almost, and he should know how this commission form of government works, and he shouldn't have let our...
And I hope you're respect until recently.
I don't know about what meeting.
Everybody would argue with each other, and nothing was ever accomplished. And honestly, Steve was the one who kept the peace month.
Thank you all.
And kept people
Is that it?
Brawls.
Okay.
I'm only doing what I was encouraged to do.
I would like whoever says they made a phone call to me that in return. Someone here that said that,
I would
like
encourage to do that. I want you all to know this. I did not set out to do this on my own. I was strongly encouraged. That's all I've heard about since before I even became a commissioner. And I was encouraged to do this.
Are you talking about being a commissioner?
Listen, I want to hear what this woman has to say. You know, if my head's on a chopping block we're going to talk about it.
What you just said, that you were encouraged before you even became a commissioner?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that has nothing to do with what he's doing right now. This has been a plan all along.
I only have one thing to say. I'm sitting here as a former commissioner and a resident, I would like to know why you commissioners, if you're unhappy with Steve, and I'm going to admit there's been times I have been unhappy with Steve, and he knows that.
Sure enough.
why didn't you all bring him in and talk to him instead of bringing all of us into this?
Because I was told we had to do it in an open forum.
Well, Carol talks 2 hours ago about the sympathy of going knocking on doors and doing all of that, and then she turns around and sits there, you guys unload on me, and she looks really nervous over there. I love Carol. I've complimented Carol, I've complimented Dawn. The mayor asked me to do something, in hindsight, maybe it should have been addressed to the board. That's not my call. I know what the form of government is, and I know that you each get a vote. I kept the city together when there was all this conflict with Mayor Smith and all that stuff. You have no idea what I've been for the city. And if you want to take a vote and fire me, that's fine.
No.
And I'll do what I need to do.
We're not firing you. I would not.
Sounds to me like you are.
Yeah.
I've been nothing but kind to Carol and Dawn. And she got the votes.
I should have never listened to you. I should have never listened to you.
You reported me.
Your problem, Linda, is that you want to do everybody else's business. You want to
I want to settle it right now. It's time for the commissioner report, unless I hear a motion.
Now, you can take applications. I'll apply. And I'll tell you what, when they call me up and tell me, ask me what it's about, I lose money representing the city of Worthington Hills. I lose money. I charge $250 an hour and lose money.
Be graceful.
Okay.
They're not graceful,
no.
But you can be graceful.
I'm surprised at Carol, not Linda. I mean, it turns from Linda's mouth. I'm not be surprised at you.
She just did what was asked of her, and that's difficult too. As I said, and I'll say it again, there is a time and place for conversation, and I don't care what law says what. Who, what, when, where, why. Again, this isn't my first rodeo, and that was the most disrespectful thing you can do to someone. I would never do that to one of my employees, and I would hope that one of my superiors would never treat me in that manner either. And I've been in far bigger circles than this.
Thank you very much. I'm a Vietnam veteran. I came back, I was screwed up. I was in hospitals, I've had electric shock therapies. What I have done in my life is absolutely amazing. I shouldn't be here today. I was in a hospital in 2013, had electric shock therapies. Did I show up at every meeting? I did. I'm a veteran, and you know what? When we came back, we were disrespected. And the thing that turns me off is when I get disrespected. I get disrespected, and Vietnam veterans that came back, I applied for jobs, and people looked at me and said, I had a degree in business from Kentucky. I had someone look at me, I wouldn't hire a drug addicted Vietnam veteran for anything in the world. You know what I did? I had a business degree. I worked in construction for 5 years. And you disrespected me, and that's why I'm pissed off. You know, so that's crazy. You're a control freak. That's what I hear from everybody. So you apparently got your votes lined up. I'll submit an application for it if that's what you want. And you all can take a vote on that. And then I have a record. It's going to be a public record. And when I get those applications, I'm going to call up those attorneys. And I'm going to say, look, they're going to pay you $2,500 a month. It's going to be net 18. And you're going to be working 40 hours a month. And you're not going to have time for the rest of your practice. See how many attorneys you have standing in line for that. You know what? The first time I sent something to you, your response to me was outrageous. You sent me an email that I had never seen anything in my life.
Okay. Stop.
I'm sorry. I reached her level.
Thank you, Dawn.
All right. Let's go to the road commissioner reports and move along with this so we can get the meeting over with. I've talked with Commissioner Eichenberger. Want me to move along with somebody else? I've been there, done that. All right, let's start with Commissioner Metcalf, and that way
don't confine your stuff, because I know it's probably in there.
Grove City on multiple occasions issued 2 parking permits, answered 2 emails, made 4 phone calls. Mayor Stoughton and I went to storage area and picked up yard sale signs and placed them around the seat. Mayor Stoughton and I met with Tate of Derby City Protection. Mayor Stoughton and I went to storage area and placed yard sale signs back in storage. Kyle Tate Mason, out of the refrigerator on Lunenburg Drive, it was at the curb, it had the door still attached and had not been tagged, showing the freon had been removed, the refrigerator was removed from the street. Derby City Protection Activity Report 416-518. Parking citation warning 16, theft deterrent 3, dispatch run 1, resident complaints 4, suspicious vehicles 3, traffic stops 29, suspicious.
All right. Thank you, Dan. Mr. Padilla.
Did my report like text on 4-3, 4-10, 4-16, 4-22, and 4-24, and on 4-30. On 4-19, I received a text from the city park that Rusty dropped trash and left it on the street. I contacted Rusty and Rusty, and he said to drive her back. I received 2 calls about recycling being missed and an inquiry about how many bags of yard waste will be picked up in one run. I did the mail run with the city clerk on 410 and 423, and on 426, I met with Mayor Stoneham and Attorney Swagger to discuss the rental ordinance.
Okay, Commissioner Campbell.
After discussion at the April 16th meeting, I added 3 signs to the safety call order. They will read as follows: no parking on street anytime. I also, and on 4/30/2019, I finalized all signs needed at this time and identified the location where they would be placed. Met on 5 May 1st, I met with Andrew Freebird at the Safety Co. Company and presented the list of signs needed, their locations, as well as the stop sign post that's leaning and needs to be reset. Also specified the anti-graffiti coating was added to all signs. On the 6th of May, I drove all streets in the city of Worthington Hills to identify potholes and their specific locations. On May 7th, met with Steve Triplett and Mayor Bob Stoneham to pinpoint all the locations within the city, place their locations on a large map. This work will be done in June of 2019. And by the way, the signs, I've talked to Andrew, the signs will be, he said, possibly up Friday, but definitely by next Tuesday, they should be up.
All right,
I have a question for you. The anti-graffiti coating, does that mean they can't spray paint on them or something?
Yeah.
It won't stick or something?
It can be cleaned off.
Oh, okay.
Very good. And that was Bob's suggestion because I didn't know about it. He said it's a standing order on ours, but I called Andrew and Sandra promised me that she'd make sure it was in here.
Awesome. Yeah. All right, Commissioner Eichenberger, I see you found your report.
Yes, I did. On 4/23, responded to a resident's email regarding down trees in the city open green space bordered by Lunenburg Drive, Roseburg, and Queen Anne's. 4/24, received a phone call from a resident inquiring what he could do and who he needed to contact regarding a neighbor running a repair shop out of his home. On 4/30, received email from Maximus Lawn Care regarding several cleanup issues. Mayor Stoneham walked the open green space as well and provided input. MSD has also been contacted and advised of issues with water runoff ditches. They advised me approximately 30 to 45 days before it could be checked due to weather and mowing season. On 4:30, letters sent to residents regarding down limbs and debris. On 5:09, received email from Commissioner Campbell regarding drainage issues on Northumberland and Bay Run Drive. Drain located in backyard between 3907 and 3909 Northumberland. MSD was contacted and will send an inspector out within 30 to 45 days. On 5-9, received an email from a resident claiming the tree service working in the open space damaged her property while driving his equipment through the easement. Upon further inspection by our landscaping specialist and several others, advised resident via email what options were available and no damage was present. On 5-9, received an email from a resident regarding an MSD issue on Northumberland Drive. States standing water in the yards. Contacted MSD. Will send an inspector with 30 to 45 days. Y'all pricing MSD a lot. 511, addresses of 4409 and 4415 Bays End Court. Their lawns had finally been mowed because we had issues with that. On 5-12, received an email from a resident regarding Bays End cul-de-sac inquiring about the dead shrub and mowing. I advised possibly behind due to rain last 2 weeks. 5-14, resident at 4513 moved down privacy fence from open space, generating a nuisance letter for the fence cleanup at this time. On 5-14, received a report from Maximus Lawn Care listing a breakdown of activity performed in the city. On 5-16, completed our cybersecurity online training. On 5-20, I forwarded an email to Steve advising to disregard sending the nuisance letter to the address of 4513 because the gentleman was getting rid of the fence himself. I had a busy month.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. Opening it back up to the citizens now. You got a chance to say one last word. Darren, you had your hand up. Darren was first.
No, I'm good. I was.
Okay.
I just thought the attorney's part.
Okay. We're going to leave
it.
He
was appointed by you all, and it should probably be in the spot.
I don't know how many more times I have to complain about the house on the corner of Pulaski and Lindenburg that you now have to walk in the grass.
I know.
With
I have
the
reported.
Shrubs,
yeah.
Yes.
With the shrubs, yes.
That's been on my gripe list since.
And now the grass needs to be mowed.
What's the address? Because the grass is knee high. No.
It's 4532.
Is it empty?
It's empty.
That's
it's
right.
A rental property.
32. Another rental property?
That's
4532.
Lindenburg.
Our former commissioners.
It's owned by a corporation.
Well, I understand the next door. Deborah's is getting ready to become rental property.
You're right. Well, yeah, it was always a rental property. She doesn't have it in her name. She has it in her company name.
And she's got a...
She's got more than one.
Well, no, but the other thing I have to complain about is she's got a...
Recliner
sitting out of her trash at the end of her driveway.
And it's not in plastic or anything else. Now, she knows better.
Well, it did have pretty good homeowner for a while. That's
do
what?
I?
Had free to a good home for a while.
Yeah, I saw that.
So.
But, and there's, and whether it's in our subdivision or close to it, there's a house on Middlesex that's graced about this high.
Do you know where it is compared to the power lines?
If you're going towards the back part, it's on the left-hand side, and it's got trees all over the place. I'm not sure.
Is it past the speed hump, the last speed hump before you go into? See, there's a speed hump when you get to the top of the hill, right before you get to the top of the hill, and then there's a speed hump right before you go into Coldstream. If it's past the speed hump before Coldstream?
No, I think it's back.
Okay.
All you have to do is drive down the street. You won't miss it.
Don't look at that. Yes, Mrs. Wright. You're right. Mrs. Wright. No, I'm sorry.
Car.
I don't. That's right. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I had called Mr. Metcalf on April 24th about 11005 Lunenburg Court. Our family was outside and the dog charged us. I didn't get a response, so I was just.
I thought the officer was going to talk to you too, but. I contacted Derby City and they were going to do a door knock on the house and on the dog.
Okay.
And I thought you were going to talk to me too. But okay.
It was, what, is it the gentleman here on the gym? Is that?
No, they don't have a gym. It's a female that lives there. I don't know. I don't really know them. Okay. I know that.
I talked to a man and a woman about a dog issue. It was real late.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
I don't know if y'all were asleep, but I did talk to them.
Okay. And they're going to keep them?
That's what they said. I told them the repercussions that they don't. So
okay.
If something doesn't get changed, just
okay.
Let
okay.
myself know.
All right. I didn't hear.
My other issue is the barking dogs on Dickerson.
Hello.
I mean, when I can hear them all the way over to my house,
I can hear them at my house.
Imagine what
everyone
puts up with.
Yeah. We still got the dog problem on Dickerson. Yeah. At the
very
house.
Very bad dog problem.
You know which house I'm talking about. Yeah. Okay.
Way back when it.
That's exactly right.
That's what she did.
Is there anything else from the audience? If not, do I hear a motion to end the meeting?
I do want to say to you that there was no malice intended in my remarks whatsoever. This
all
was
right.
An idea that was presented to me, and I was the messenger.
Okay, and I appreciate that.
I'd like for everybody to hear this. There was no malice meant in my remarks. I was the messenger. They didn't do that at all.
Linda, you were in my office 2 weeks ago, about 3 or 4 hours. And we had a nice meeting. You say I'm not accessible?
I know. But I'm just saying, this was presented to me, and I put it in the No malice.
I appreciate you stood up for me out there. I really do.
All right. Do I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting? Thank you. Commissioner Metcalf, there. Her second. Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Y'all have a nice evening.